Shave and Wade Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free. ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, with John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Learn how we the people are holding the system accountable with common law grand juries across the nation. John will be taking questions from the Shake and Wake Radio chat room, or you can Skype or call in. Visit NationalLibertyAlliance.org for more information. Every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org. On ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
Hey.
And now, your host from National Liberty Alliance, the one and only John Durash.
Hi, good evening, Rick. Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's program. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's open forum. Today is Monday, September 1st, 2014. Hang on one second. Yep, September 1st. I had to double-check that one for a second. Okay, like we usually do, we're going to start with God's Word. Last week, I think we looked at humility, if I recall. I don't remember. I could go back and look. But in any event, tonight we're going to look at virtue. And, you know, Black's Law Dictionary says that justice is synonymous with virtue. And, of course, that is what we need to return into the courtrooms. And that's what our goal is, and that's what where we're heading to. Of course, we're all about common law, which is synonymous with natural law. They're one and the same. And natural law brings us right to God. And of course, it would make sense that the word justice is directly related to virtue. We read in Mark chapter 5, verse 21, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship onto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, that came in the and pressed behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I will be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about to the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who toucheth me? And he looked about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. So here it clearly is a picture where God teaches us that virtue comes out from God. In chapter 6, verse 17, we read, A great multitude of people out of Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre, Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to teach him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. In Philippians chapter 4, we read in verse 8, Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And finally, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we read in verse 2, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God, and of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promise, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to making your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so in this fashion shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, so the focus again is virtue, and it seems that virtue is whatsoever things are honest, just and pure, lovely and of good report. And this is the attitude we must have. We must put forth virtue. We must have come in with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy as we come into the courts. Now, I perceive that we are very, very close to the courts. There's a lot of stress going on. We are hearing a little rumble, not much, but we're hearing a few things that seem to be giving these people some second thoughts and what they've been doing, in the sense that we're hearing that maybe some of these judges are starting to get a little worried. and rightly so. We know that they are. We can tell by their attitudes. We can tell by the way they respond to us. We haven't had conversations directly with any of them recently, but in the past, we've been watching them, and they've been very nervous about what we're doing. We have now gotten to that point where every judge in America, every federal judge in America is aware of us because we've sent them our information, our bill of information, last week to every single one of them. We also we filed it in every federal court district across America. And so they're very much aware of us. We file things that they did not want in their courts. One of the things we have to realize is that when we go to court, and anybody who's been in the courts, and I know many of you people have been in the courts, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about, is they try to expunge the record. They take our paperwork out. They remove things off of the record. They erase the tapes. They even, however they do it, they even change the what is written from the stenographer. And everything to agree with them so that their crimes are not reported. And that's why they don't want a tape recorder into their courts, which is our courts, but they do think it's their courts. So what we have done is we put right on the record. They can't expunge what we put on the record. They have to expunge this from the minds of almost 2,000 judges and magistrates across America, some of which we got to believe are still patriots and are upset with what's going on. I haven't met any of them yet, but I'm sure there's a couple out there. After all, where do they get the United States Supreme Court justices from, like someone like Scalia? Also, we have filed it in 90 circuit courts and 13. Actually, it turns out to be a little more than 91. I was just going through the count. It's 115. So it seems to be that there are 13 appellate courts, so we've got 102 circuit courts, which brings us into each district, and so we have filed it in all those places. And for in order for them to expunge it, that means the entire nation, all the federal judges, at least all the chief judges, would have to get together for a powwow and figure out how they're going to do what they're going to do. And, of course, that's a problem. They're not going to be able to do that. That would be a conspiracy they couldn't hide to begin with. So they have to make a decision whether they're going to file this paper or they're not going to file this paper. And, of course, on the front of our paper, we did put a warning that the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury has predetermined that misfiling of this true bill will result in a presentment. Now, tomorrow, I'm printing these out right now as we speak, we're going to be filing this in 115 courts tomorrow. That's every federal court across the nation. And we have the same file on demand. Now, we have filed this paper under the name of Unified New York Common Law Grand Jury here in New York. And they have magically moved this into a court case, which is, we were kind of surprised that they made that move. But we saw that was their logical conclusion. They had nothing else. Oh, my, we just made a mistake. We figured you guys, you opened this court case for that purpose. Well, now we're coming at them with the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. and so we're refiling that paper. There's very minimum change. I do not believe I read this paper, so I'm going to read this tonight. Again, I think it's a pretty powerful paper. It lays out exactly what's going on in these courts today. And the game that they're playing with the people, and when we've had it, we're fed up. And so it does put right into the open on their files in every district court across America the truth of what's going on in their courts. And they have it in their power right now to be forgiven, so to speak, and just go forward. We're not going to, if they just do the right thing, we've given them that olive branch in our last paper. They just do the right thing, and we're good. We're not chasing their past sins. We're not interested in their past sins. We're interested in now. We're interested in the future of America. We're interested in saving this nation. That's what we're interested in. That's the first order of business. And as far as their past sins, other people will bring that up to us in their due time. That'll come anyway. They will be judged, if not in this world, clearly in the world to come. But let us read this paper that we're going to file tomorrow morning, or maybe tomorrow afternoon, I didn't finish printing it out yet, and I got a lot of work yet to put this together, but I'm sure before the end of the day tomorrow it will be up there. I have not posted this up online yet, but I will post it up there after tonight's program. And it starts off, again, like the other ones, with a file on demand on the front page, which I'm not going to read. And we did put the same warning. We've predetermined that misfiling of this true bill will result in a presentment. So any clerk that gets this, let it be known to them, they are indicting themselves if they misfile it. They are indicting themselves if they put this anyplace else but in the record. Now, on the very first page, we start off filed via United States Postal Service September 2nd, 2014, in, and then we name every single United States District Court, and there are quite a few of them, so I'm not going to read them. It takes up the whole page. I even had to make the font a little smaller here in order to fit on the front page. I didn't want it to run into the second page. And we also, in every appellate court in the nation on the federal level. So clearly this is something they realize that, we don't know what the other court's going to do. We don't know what the other courts in the other states are going to do. There's no way they could know. So they're on the spot, and they're being recorded on what they're doing by the fact that one court will file and another court won't. We did send them self-addressed stamped envelopes in those papers, which we'll do again tomorrow. Same thing, we'll send self-addressed stamped envelopes so that they can send back to us a copy of the front page with the timestamp on it. Now, here is the true bill that we're filing tomorrow. A true bill of information under common law is the title of this. And it's got a subtitle, Conspiracy Theorists, Domestic Terrorists, and Mental Disorders. The common law grand jury, on behalf of the people of whom custody, by virtue of its prerogative, is had, submits this grievance to the judiciary for action. Silence can only be equated with fraud where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. So we're putting them on the spot right off the bat. Comes now the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury to inform both the state and the federal judiciary in all states of the pending dangers and to command that all judges perform their duty to guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and protect each of them against invasion. The purpose of this information is to expose the fascist tactics being used by tyrants that have infiltrated our government at all levels in an effort to enslave the sovereign people of America, classifying sovereign citizens, also known as the people, as terrorists or having mental disorders for challenging authority and demanding their unalienable rights, thereby concluding people incapable of defending themselves. This is, in fact, a communist conspiracy to destroy America, not a theory as the tyrants would like uninformed people to believe. Conspiracies have been effective for millenniums. It is the cause for the ruin of every government that self-destructs. Having to write this information demonstrates that it has become a sad day in America, bearing witness that the people have lost their moral compass, not without help, thereby losing our way and near self-destruction. In the Soviet Union, a sympathetic political abuse of psychiatry took, In the Soviet American, a systematic political abuse of psychiatry took place and was based on the interpretation of political dissent as a psychiatric problem. During the leadership of General Secretary Leonard Brezhnev, psychiatry was used as a tool to eliminate political opponents, dissidents, who openly expressed belief that contradicted the official dogma. The term philosophical intoxication was widely used to diagnose mental disorders in cases where people disagreed with leaders and made them the target of criticism that used the writings of Karl Marx, Friedrich Engels, and Vladimir Lenin. The advent of psychiatry eliminated the need to exile political prisoners, allowing governments instead to declare such dissidents mentally ill and unfit for society. For example, government officials in the Cold War era Soviet Union often used psychiatric hospitals as prisons in order to isolate political prisoners from the rest of society, discredit their ideas, and break them physically and mentally through the use of electric shock, drugs, and various medical procedures, insisting the the ideas about a struggle for truth and justice are formed by personalities with a paranoid structure. The psychiatric community actually went so far as to provide the government with a diagnosis suitable for locking up such freedom-oriented activists. In New York State and other states, the same systematic political abuse of psychiatrists is being employed under the so-called competency evaluation. New York Criminal Procedure Law Article 730, which means a defendant who as a result of mental disease or defect lacks the capacity to understand the proceedings against him or to assist in his own defense. This ploy is used upon anyone who refuses to use a bar lawyer while challenging jurisdiction and gives the court the opportunity to silence dissenters and cleanse the court record of all the crazy common law stuff like the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Supreme Court rulings, Founding Fathers' quotes, and that dreaded Bible. In due course of time, unless arrested, America will end up as the Nazi government, which substantially supported psychiatrists, many of whom, in turn, espoused extermination of the people they considered to be radically and cognizant, we'll leave it there. Under the Obama administration, the APA, which is the American Psychological Association, created the new Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 5th edition, which was recently adopted. DSM-5, that's the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, 5th edition, is highly controversial and has sparked outrage from the mental health practitioners. As many of these practitioners point out, the new DSM-V, or DSM-5, make a pathology out of a simple and normal behavior, such as grieving for a loss of a loved one. This constitutes a new subjective approach in diagnosing of mental illness that promises to end free speech and any form of political dissent. The federal government has already declared anyone who opposes its unconstitutional policies as having political paranoia, which is now diagnosed as a type of mental illness. Paper terrorism is neoliberalism. To refer to the use of false liens, frivolous lawsuits, bogus letters of credit, and other legal documents lacking sound factual basis as a method of harassment, especially against government officials. These methods are popular among some anti-government groups and those associated with the redemption movement. Mark Pickovich of the Anti-Defamation League states that these methods were pioneered by the Posse Comitatus, an absurd statement in another attempt to discredit common law powers, when in fact the Posse Comitatus common law gives the authority of a law officer to conscript able-bodied males to assist him in an emergency. The Posse Comitatus Act in the United States federal law, 18 U.S.C. 1385, originally at 20 Stat 152, that was passed on June 18, 1878, after the end of the Reconstruction, and was updated in 1981. Its intent, in concert with the Insurrection Act of 1807, was to limit the federal powers of federal government in using federal military personnel to enforce the state laws. If these false liens, frivolous lawsuits, bogus letters of credit, and other legal documents lack sound factual basis, why aren't they just defeated in a court of law? The reason they cannot is because of the fiction of the equity courts that corporatists have been using to fleece the people for over 100 years. And now that the people discovered how to use the equity courts of fiction to get justice from the judges and lawyers that have been making a fortune at this fraud, now cry foul when their own tactics are used against them. Violent confrontations are rare, but the FBI says at least 6 police officers have been killed by sovereigns since 2000. when a man tied to the movement shot and killed a California Highway Patrol officer who stopped him in Contra Costa County in 2010. A responding officer shot and killed the assailant. The agency claims these sovereign citizens number between 100,000 and 300,000, labeling them domestic terrorist movements. In the 1990s, political dissenters were labeled conspiracy theorists and as being mentally ill. In the 2000s, dissenters were labeled domestic terrorists. The Missouri Information and Analysis Center labeled Ron Paul, Bob Barr, Chuck Baldwin, in fact all libertarians, as terrorists. People were declared to be domestic terrorists if they supported Ron Paul, demanded the government follow the Constitution, were pro-Second Amendment, were a libertarian, a constitutionalist, or a returning veteran, or were opposed in any way to the Federal Reserve. These tyrants that motivated useful idiots to bring in communism called themselves progressives and control both parties. They have seized control of our government and are working overtime to cast legitimate dissenters in a negative light simply by associating the word with an evil act. In contemporary vernacular, the term sovereign citizen has its root in a shootout following a routine traffic stop in Arkansas, aforementioned, which turned into a violent confrontation between the police and a father and son, a pair of so-called sovereign citizens. According to the corporate-controlled media, this event, which occurred on July 1, 2010, brought attention to a so-called secretive and dangerous subculture who believes American laws don't apply to them. In short, if you do not like some aspect of government, you are now one of the new domestic terrorists and should be subject to governmental control outside the bounds of constitutional protections. This latest global trick to quell dissents and subsequently violate the rights of legitimate government protesters is so labeled them sovereign citizens. The term sovereign citizen is deceptive because in political discussions about who has the power in society, the term gets used quite often. For example, if people are the sovereign, then the people have the power over the government. If, on the other hand, the government has the power over the citizenry, it could be accurately said that the government is the sovereign. The strategy is simple. If one criticizes the government in any form, they can be labeled a sovereign citizen. If the government can label one a sovereign citizen, then that citizen has no rights, and ostensibly, the government can do what they will with that citizen. This is a very slippery slope, and the government and its police agency are fully committed to this strategy. Police Magazine, www.policemag.com, which goes out to every police department in America, addresses and defines a sovereign citizen as the new domestic terrorist. This magazine's comprehensive definition of what constitutes sovereign citizens includes minor offenses such as the manufacturing of fraudulent license plates, registration cards, or currency, example, use of gold coins. These people should be considered armed and dangerous. Calling in of a SWAT team during routine traffic stops might not be an overreaction to the threat posed by sovereigns. They might complain about mortgage fraud or banking fraud. The police are cautioned to be on the lookout for words like indigenous, sovereign, diplomat, exempt, or private property displayed on the personal license plates. Police officers are advised that sovereigns will engage in willful terrorism by videotaping their interactions with law enforcement officers. Police are also cautioned to be aware of certain dangerous keywords that sovereigns are likely to use, as oath of office, traveling in private capacity, domicile, and 14th Amendment. New York statutes say that people are sovereign. New York Code, CBR, Law Subsection 2, New York Code, supreme sovereignty in the people. No authority can, or in any pretense whatsoever, be exercised over the citizen of this state, but such as shall be derived from and granted to by the people of this state. The United States Supreme Court says sovereignty itself remains with the people. Yick Woe versus Hopkins. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and source of law. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. And the law is defined and limitations of power. The United States Supreme Court says the sovereign makes the law. Law is made by the people, Constitution, not legislators. The Constitution permits limited statute making, and the control of behavior of the people is not among them. In American Banana Company versus the United Fruit Company, the very meaning of sovereignty is that the decree of the sovereign makes the law. The New York State Supreme Court says the people of New York are as sovereign as any king before us. Langston versus Smith, the people of this state, as the successors of its former sovereigns, are entitled to all the rights which formerly belonged to the king by his prerogative. The United States Supreme Court says people under common law have the defense of sovereign immunity against all legislative laws. In Wickwoe versus Hopkins, the doctrine of sovereign immunity is one of common law immunities and the defenses that are available to the sovereign. The United States Supreme Court says sovereignty dwells in the people. Perry versus U.S. In the United States, sovereignty resides in the people. The Congress cannot invoke the sovereign powers of the people to override their will as thus declared. New York Supreme Court says people of all states are categorically sovereign. In Lansing versus Smith, it'll be admitted on all hands that with the exception of the powers granted to the state and the federal government through the Constitution, the people of the several states are unconditionally sovereign with their respects of states. The United States Supreme Court says sovereignty is fixed and absolute in the people. Minor versus Hapsett, Republican government, one in which powers of sovereignty are vested in the people and are exercised by the people. The United States Supreme Court says sovereignty abides in the people, not government servants. Spooner versus McConnell. The sovereignty of a state does not reside in the person who filled the different departments of its government, but in the people from whom the government emanated. And they may change it at their discretion, sovereignty. Then in this country abides with the consistency and not with the agent. And this remark is true both in reference to the federal and the state governments. The United States Supreme Court says the people are sovereign without subjects. Chisholm versus Georgia. At the Revolution, the sovereignty devolved on the people, and they are truly the sovereigns of the country. But they are sovereigns without subjects, with none to govern but themselves. The United States Supreme Court says public agencies exist to aid people, not to lord over them. Chisholm versus Georgia. It is the public policy of this state that public agencies exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business. The people of this state do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies which serve them. The United States Supreme Court says either people are sovereign or the government is sovereign. They cannot coexist. Gaines versus Buford. The words sovereign states are cabalistic words, hidden meanings, not understood by the disciple of liberty, who has been instructed in our constitutional schools. It is our appropriate phrase when applied to an absolute despotism. The idea of sovereign power in a government of a republic is incompatible with the existence and foundation of civil liberty and the rights of property. Rights trump statutes and codes. The United States Supreme Court says the Bill of Rights are not to be defeated by statutes. Davis versus Wechsler. The assertion of federal rights, when plainly and reasonably made, is not to be defeated under the name of local practice. The United States Supreme Court says no rulemaking on rights. Miranda versus Arizona. When rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them. The United States Supreme Court says no statute to prevent rights. In Scherer versus Cullen, there can be no sanction or penalty imposed upon one because of his exercise of the constitutional rights. The state in Herteranto versus the people of the state of California, the state cannot diminish the rights of the people. Constitution for the United States, Article 6, Clause 2, is the law of the land. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made, or which shall be made under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land. And the judges in every state shall be bound thereby, and anything in the Constitution or laws of any state, to the contrary, notwithstanding. So how did we get from the people being sovereign to the conclusion that sovereigns are terrorists? The answer is simple. The progressives of both major parties simply despise the America that the fathers founded, and they are resolute on destroying the foundation of law our founders established and replacing it with codes or statutes. Lawyers are taught by progressive bar schools that statutes are laws and that common law has been abrogated. Statutory law and common law, i.e. natural law, are like mixing oil and water. They are contradictions to each other. You either have one or the other. As William Penn said, men must be governed by God, common law, or they will be ruled by tyrants, statutes. Then we have a breakdown here of two lists, equity law, which is listed out as federal legislated statutes that control people's behavior, state legislated statutes that control people's behavior, county legislated statutes that control people's behavior, town legislated statutes that control people's behavior, city legislated statutes that control people's behavior, mind of man trying to control every aspect of your life. And on the common law side, we have the Declaration of Independence, the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Magna Carta, the Holy Bible, the mind of God. So each man controls his own behavior and answers to the people, grand jury, if they injure or violate someone. George Washington said, government is not reason, it is not eloquent, it is a force like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. Being sovereign is the American experiment. Tyrants want the people to be subject to them and not free and independent. That is sovereign. Presently, these tyrants lord over us with unconstitutional legislation called statutes because we, the people, have been so dumbed down that we don't realize what the law is until we start puzzling over it and start reading books. The people who are waking up and standing up in the courts and elsewhere are being labeled sovereigns, which law enforcement are being taught means terrorists and cop killers. Police across the nation are being militarized, and soon they will be going out on operations instead of patrols. And you will be caught up in arresting and killing people in the name of America. After all, they are just sovereign terrorists. If the people don't learn the truth about liberty and lead others in honor, we will be like all the other occupied third world countries, with no hope and at the mercy of two-bit tyrants. Attached is a bulletin circulated by the New York State Supreme Court labeled Person of Interest, proclaiming the subject of the circular as a sovereign citizen based on paperwork filed in Kings County NT docket, and we give the number of file in process of being sanitized by Chief Administrative Judge
Miguel
Prudente. Yep.
We're hearing like some interference. Like every now and then there's like something is cutting in on you.
I'm
Does anybody from the chat room hear that?
Let me take them out of Q&A. Hang on a minute. Anybody else hearing other sounds other than what we're talking?
No, what it sounds like is it's just a little thing every now and then going like that, that, like cutting in and out.
I'm not hearing that.
If
anybody else
in
hearing
the
that?
Chat room is hearing anything...
This is Sarah in Florida. Yes, I'm hearing that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Heard
so what I was going to say is, how about you call? I'll hang up on you. Call me right back.
Okay. So it's coming through
you
think?
I don't think it's me. I think it's on your end because of the conference call.
I hear it now for you.
Dixon, coming in real clear.
Yeah, I hear it.
Coming in west of the Mason Dixon, real clear.
All right, you know what? Why don't we do this? John, hang up on me. How about we go to a break? We'll play a break song. Hang up on me, get the phones back, hang up on them, get them back or whatever if you can.
Let me try to clean them up.
And then call me back. We'll
all right, everybody,
great.
Everybody stand by. I'll be back in a minute.
Should we all call back in again?
No, they're just using their phones.
They told us to hold on.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm back up online. I'm now calling Rick back into the group. Any interference at this point or while I was gone?
That was right for me.
Right, we're back on, Rick.
All right,
let's see where we go from here. I'm almost done with the reading of this paper. Only a few more paragraphs.
Okay.
Okay, so attached is a bulletin. We'll pick up there. Circulated by the New York State Supreme Courts, labeled Person of Interest, proclaiming the subject of the circular as a sovereign citizen based on paperwork filed. And then we've got the docket number. A file in process of being sanitized by Chief Administrative Judge A. Gale Prudente, acting under the color and presently under indictment and further investigations by the common law grand jury. And see attached poster. We did attach the poster to this, and you'll be able to see this when you look online at it, which quotes in said subject's defense, the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, U.S. Supreme Court rulings, the Bible, and Black's Law Dictionary. These quotes are lawful, patriotic, and can only be interpreted by terror by tyrants. Certainly, the United States Supreme Court sees them as law, for most are their quotes. As detailed in the original May 20th, 2014 Bill of Information, sovereign citizens, which law enforcement are being taught means terrorists and cop killers, this is extremely dangerous. We, the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, are appalled by this anti-American tactic and can only conclude that its purpose is to intimidate and incite violence against the people who believe in law and our founding principles, whereas we can only conclude that the said tyrants are indeed the terrorists. Conclusion, recap. Marxists and communists have infiltrated our government at all levels in the conspiracy to enslave the American people. These tyrants, under the name of progressives, control both parties and have been quite successful in classifying sovereign people, citizens, as terrorists or having mental disorders within the judiciary and the law enforcement agencies. They cast legitimate dissenters in a negative light simply by associating the word sovereign with an evil act. Whenever the peaceful sovereign people challenge the authority of their government servants, they find themselves surrounded by violent policemen itching to rumble sent by tyrants, because the sovereign mind is a threat to the Marxist status quo. Awakened sovereigns are not mentally ill, nor are sovereign terrorists. They are just people discovering their purposely hidden American roots, and in that discovery have come to realize, by the contrast of today's America and the America envisioned by our founding fathers, that the government servants are not obeying the Constitution. They are trashing the Bill of Rights and are turning America into a militarized zone. We are one step away from martial law, and the Judeo-Christian American is their primary target. Light is always a threat to darkness. It is the duty of judges to answer and act. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Edmund Burke. I got to check that out, because I think that was an unknown, but it might have been Edmund Burke that said that. Failure to act when one has the duty to act is fraud, and thereby places said judges in dishonor, and thus is subject to removal from office through a true bill. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, stewards of the common law, on behalf of the people in the interest of justice, order all federal and state courts in every state to cease hijacking the people into courts foreign to the Constitution for the United States of America, and treating the people who challenge jurisdiction, demand justice and common law as conspiracy theorists, domestic terrorists, and having mental disorders, when in fact they are patriots trying to save the republic from the tyrants that now plague our courts. And then it's signed and sealed, and it says the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury convened under the above Unified United States seal for the purpose of drawing up this true bill for enforcement, fortified under the seals of all 50 states, and then all 50 state seals are behind it. And that takes us to the end, the 50 seals, and then, of course, a picture of that person of interest flying out. That was very dangerous, especially by a rookie cop or someone getting a hold of that and trying to make a name for himself. Okay, that brings us to the end of that. That paper is going to be filed tomorrow. I did find an error or two in here. I'm going to fix that tonight. And like I said, I'm going to get this up tonight, probably when I post tonight's program, and we'll take it from there. Okay, let me just look at my notes here.
John, before you start opening the calls, could I just tell everybody who's listening?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're listening from John Drash's website from nationalliberty.org, you can come over to shakeandwakeradio.com and scroll down. You'll see the chat room there so that you can talk with other Johns. Friends and bands and organizers and people in the chat and stuff, just go to shakeandwakeradio.com, and we have a Chatango room that you can enter with an anonymous name or type whatever name you want. You don't need an account. So I just wanted to invite you over, and if you wanted to ask a question, but you know, didn't want to call in on the air, you can ask the question in our chat room by typing it all in caps to Rick or Annie, ask John this, and we'll give John the question, or I'll post it in Skype chat for John. So shakeandwakeradio.com. You'll see a link for the chat, or scroll down the page. You'll see the chat right below where you see Rick Rittenour with the T-shirt and the coffee cup and the PayPal button. Thanks. Great show again, John, and God bless you for being with us. We love you.
I appreciate it, Rick. Appreciate it. Okay, I'd like to cover something real quick that we did over the weekend. We decided that we're at a time. I don't know how many people really see this, but I can tell you from our vantage point, we're at that point. Something is going to break, and it's going to break soon. I truly believe that the likelihood is that we are going to get into the courts, and we're going to get into the courts very quickly. And I can tell you right now, at this point, we are not really ready to get into the courts. But we can shore up our position and be ready to enter into the courts within a week or two. And it takes preparation. It takes involvement. It takes commitment. It means that people need to make themselves available when called. And without excuse, no matter what they're doing, they need to drop it and come to the meeting and get involved. So what I did is I sent out a series of emails over the weekend. We have got responded. It's a good number of people. We're looking for bare minimum of one person per state. So we're looking for a bare minimum of 50 people. And some people misunderstood that email. Some people thought we were asking certain people to step down or remove themselves as state coordinators and various other things. I don't know why they interpret it that way, but it had nothing to do with that. Look, we need a group of people that's going to take point here. We can't be open. We can't get into a position where the gates open up and access is into the courts and people don't know what to do. There must be a plan. Now, we've already formulated that plan, or most of that plan, but we haven't revealed it yet because we didn't want to do anything prematurely. But we have been planning on that, and we are working on doing PowerPoint videos for the purpose of teaching people each and every step along the way. But it starts off with, for lack of a better word, a small elite group that's going to take point in each state. Like I said, we need bare minimum one person per state. But that needs to grow to maybe about a half a dozen people per state. Some states already have that, and a lot of states can get that very quickly, okay? But we need a commitment. So I sent out an email. Still on record?
We lost you for like 1 second or something.
Okay. I'm here. All right, so what we need to do is we need to get these people who are going to make a commitment. So we're looking for people who are going to give that commitment. And we're going to be meeting together to discuss what it means to be on point, what is our plan and process of going into the courts, how we expect to go according to this process, you know, step by step. So I'm asking people to make a commitment. And we're looking for people, that, like I said, one from each state bare minimum. We know that everyone's not going to jump into this, but we get a couple of people per state, we're good. And those people will find other people, and we'll get about a half a dozen, like I said, per state.
John.
But anybody that makes that commitment, hold on. Anyone makes that commitment, as a matter of fact, I'm going to put everyone back into, I kicked everybody out of Q&A. We're going into Q&A, so click on the Q&A. Anybody has a question or comment, you get in line here now. We're trying to pull together all the people that are going to commit. Now, what that means, we're not looking for anybody that's going to commit halfway. We actually have people in our group that have been with us for 5-6 months or more and don't even know that we have a Monday night call. What's that all about? That means that someone in that state is not doing their job. They're not getting a hold of people. They're not pushing them. They're not coordinating, and they're not organizing. People need to know. We have a group, a large group. And when I say a large group, I wouldn't really say a large group, but maybe 6 people or so that are meeting in a particular state, which I'm not going to give the name of, and they do not come to the Monday night calls. What are they meeting for? What are they talking about? What are they doing? We have done the research here, and anybody that's come to NLA, they see it. They know it. And we're unfolding things as we go. We can't unfold them too quickly because it doesn't make sense to give you information that you need prerequisitional information first to get to it. We also have to achieve certain steps and get to certain places. That's where we have to focus our information, our attention towards. Is the process at hand as we move forward. We are at that point where we now got to reveal some things and really get involved, you know, the nuts and bolts of what we're doing and how we're going to do it. But how is it, I've been in this one state I'm talking about. They've had about 5 or 6 common law grand juries that have sparked up over there since the 90s, and every single one of them have failed. And I've spoken to some of these people, if not, probably most of the groups, if not all the groups, I've spoken to these people, and I discovered why they failed. They failed because they mixed things together that shouldn't have been mixed together. They lacked certain knowledge of common law. They didn't know policies. They didn't know process and procedures of the courts. You see, we've hit all of these points. We know all of these points.
Wow, John dropped again
together.
For a second.
We brought all these points back together.
Yeah, one more time. Anybody who would like to join us in the chat room, shakeandwakeradio.com.
Okay, so anyway,
you dropped out again, man. Are you having an internet problem? Because we're not here.
I'm going through here. This is not a problem here.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, you went dead for about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, We need to, really focus in and deal with how we're going to operate. And every state has got to be doing the same thing. We have some people who I hear from time to time. They haven't come to the Monday night call to tell us, but they're telling us on how we're doing things wrong or we have this problem or that problem. Well, darn it, come to the Monday night program and correct us. We need that correction. Come see us. You know, I don't know why they go out there and complain. And all it does is bring dissent. It causes, just problems. People get confused. They're not sure what's going on. So they're really just causing havoc. They're not building this process up. They're not helping any. I mean, if they joined NLA, get along with the program. If you think we have a problem in the program, come to our Monday night programs. Explain it to us. If you think we have a problem with the way we understand law, come to our Thursday night program and explain it to us. But for goodness sake, stop complaining in open forums, using our open forums to complain against NLA and what we're doing and how we're doing it so wrong. You know, and there's not a lot of people doing that, but there are a few. And I don't know whether they're just confused or if they're being used or what they are. I'm not even going to guess what they are because I don't know. But stop it already, please. You know, united we stand and divided we will fall. But nevertheless, we've done our homework here. I assure you of that. We have a plan and we're going forward. And we all have to get on the same page. If we're not on the same page, we're going to lose. If we all get divided, we're going to lose. We have to stay focused and we all have to be doing the right thing and the same thing at the same time. That's the only way we're going to win. So if you got some group of people that's going to hijack the NLA plan and use us as a springboard for their own purposes, we're going to want to cut them off, and we're going to cut them off. When they've already, some of these people have been identified, and I'm hoping that this warning is going to straighten them up. Now, like I said, some of these people aren't listening to this program, so they're not getting a warning. And I have no other choice but to disconnect them because we cannot have people just going rogue on us, doing the wrong thing, getting themselves in trouble, becoming a failure in what they're doing when we have the way of success. So, again, we want to get together, for lack of a better word, an elite group. Five or six people from every state. We'll start off with one. That'll grow quickly to four or five people that'll be involved. Even if those four or five people can't make every meeting, that's to some degree that's acceptable, but they really have to be to the meetings. Matter of fact, it's a requirement. Anybody who is committing and saying, okay, I'm on board, I'm committing to do the job, to get it done, you miss it, you miss the first event, the first meeting, you're going to be removed from the mailing list as those people taking the point, okay? And, you know, anybody who misses after we get started, you miss two meetings, that's it. We don't have the time for that. I'm almost at a point where I think if you miss one meeting, we just got to disconnect you and find someone else because we need to get the job done in every state of the union at the same time. That is how we will be successful. We will not be successful if we're all haphazardly going different directions, doing different things, saying different things, and by, you know, and the other thing is, once we get into the courts, we're going to have a landslide of people moving into this. And we need people that are organized and understand what's going on to make sure they control the people coming in, that they don't come in with vengeance. Because people will come into this thing with vengeance. They'll take positions, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're indicting everybody and their mother. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to save the nation. If we're going to come in here and indict people, then let's just give up the nation because we're going to lose. We're not going to make it. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Look, we need patience. We need to be humble. We need to stay focused. We cannot give up principles for expediency. We just cannot do it. When you give up principles, we lose. God will curse us for sure. It's absolute. Give up your principles, we lose. So we have to develop the principles. We have to stay focused. We have to go forward to save the nation. We have to secure our counties and our states. We cannot play around with this. We have to get the job done, and we have to do it at the same time together in every state in one accord. And if we don't do it that way, we lose. Once they realize where we're coming from and what's happening, they're going to start scrambling to try to pull this nation down real quick. But nevertheless, you know, it's like turning a ship at sea. It takes time. And it may take them 15 or 30 days to pull their meeting together and decide how they're going to pull the plug and what they're going to do. That means we don't have much time once we hit point. When we hit point, we don't have any more time. We have to be moving with haste. But we have to be consistent and constant and be doing the same thing and hitting them with the right, the left. We just consistently together. So anybody who is interested, send me an email. If you're going to commit, do not send me an email if you're not committing because you're only wasting our time and you're only holding us back. Be serious about this. We need only serious people. We have a lot of state coordinators, and I haven't seen all the state coordinators come in yet. Where are all the state coordinators? How come they have not yet volunteered? I put this word out since, I think, Saturday. I forget what day, Friday or Saturday, probably Saturday. And I have not seen the commitment from all the state coordinators. Where are they? Step up to the bat. This is what you want the job as the state coordinator? It's time to act as one, because now it's time to take point. It's time to get the job done. So anybody, and you don't have to be a state coordinator, because we need more than one person in each state. Like I said, we need a half a dozen in each state. We
John, somebody from somebody from the chat room wanted to, you to explain what exactly is the first few steps of this plan, and I simply typed. Well, part one
I'll try to answer that when I'm done, though. Hold on a minute, because let me finish this point off. Okay? So what I'm asking is people for this. People who want to commit and not play games, when you get the call, whatever it is you're doing, if you're going to Bible studies on that day, if you're going to work on that day, if you and we'll always do it in the evening anyway, but if you got some other plan that's going on, understand you need to cancel it. You need to be at this meeting. If you're not there, then you betrayed us. So don't make the decision to take this point if you're not going to fulfill it. I've seen all too many times people want positions for whatever reasons, and when they're called upon, they're not even responding. We have to go look for them, okay? I've seen this over and over again since I've been in the Liberty Group. It cannot happen with what we are doing. We have the opportunity to save the nation. And we need to do it in one accord, and we need to do it very soon. It's coming up. I'll be telling you, we're only days or weeks away from taking the power. The pressure is on these people, and it's huge. And I'd be very surprised if they don't collapse under it. I really will. And, you know, this next paper, this next information is just the beginning. We have papers to be filed on Tuesday, papers to be filed on Wednesday, papers to be filed on Thursday. We're not going to let up on these people. We are writing. Now, hopefully, we're going to get done on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. If it doesn't get done Tuesday, it'll be filed Wednesday. And if Wednesday doesn't get done on Wednesday, it'll be filed Thursday, and so on. But we will file these papers, and we will keep hitting them and taking them down. And when those doors open, we got to be ready. So, let me get to the point. If you're going to take this position, and you're going to commit, then we're going to expect you to be a person, a man or a woman of your word, and you're going to be there. When you get the call, you're going to come. And it'll be an online call conversation, and we're going to go through the process and the procedures and the steps, point by point, and we'll make the plan. We got to do this now to plan and prepare so when it happens, we can go, we can move. We're going to hit the ground running. Now, if you're going to take that position, send me an email, john@nationallibertyalliance.org. Don't put anything other than I commit in the subject line. I commit. Two words, I commit. Don't write me a letter. Don't write anything because I don't want to know nothing at this point. I haven't got time to read these things. People are sending me sermons. They're sending me a book. I haven't got time to read that stuff now. Look, all I want to know is you're inside your email, in the body of the email, you write your name, your email address, your state, and your phone number. That's it. And in the subject matter, I commit. I don't need anything else. Some people, they don't give me their email address. Well, they figure, well, the email's address attached to the thing. Well, that's two steps for me to make moves to get to that place where I got to cut and paste the email and put it into the spreadsheet. When I can cut all four at the same time, throw it in the spreadsheet and drag it to the place, and it's quicker. So, again, it's wasting my time when I have to deal with a lot of people. We have about 100 people who have already volunteered for these positions. And the first meeting is going to be real clear, hardcore. You know, people may be leaving the first 10 minutes because if they're not committing 100%, we don't want them there. We want only the 100%ers. Okay? So, again, send me an email. Subject line, I commit. Only information, your name, your state, your email, and your phone number. Don't write me any messages, nothing else, just that. I will put you on the list. And sometime probably this week, we will have a meeting. You'll get an email. Everybody on that list will get an email, the time and place of that meeting, and we'll start our first meeting, which is going to prepare us for taking power in the courts. Okay, Rick, you have someone with a question?
somebody in the chat had wanted to know, as far as, like, the plan goes to get new people involved in everything. And what I responded, I said, well, part one to the plan would be to get people to recognize there is a problem, number one, and to get them to come and listen, you know. So tell everybody you know about ShakeAndWakeRadio.com. Bookmark the site. Pass it to friends. Tell them that there are hosts and people like John DeRash that are instructing people how to take the country back and how to go in and handle yourself with common law that can give you advice. And listen to all the documentaries that we play about our court system and our money system, useless Mullins and lots of great things that that John talks about, as well as GMO foods and vaccines and all the different tricks of the New World Order. You know, so what I had said was the first thing is you got to get people to realize there's a problem. So you get them to come to our site, listen to this network, listen to John, listen to Roger Landry, the Liberty Beacon, listen to the documentaries, educate them a little bit, and then, you know, maybe some of them will join John's organization and become representatives, those that have the ability that and the time to study and do it right. But this is our last chance. If someone like John, if we can't take this back in a legal, lawful way by enough people just rising up, standing up with the power of God, repenting and saying no more, we're going to have real courts and real money. If we can't get enough people to recognize there's a problem and stand up and stop this, we're going hardcore into the New World Order, and then it's going to be too late. But go ahead, John. What would you say? Would you say that was pretty accurate? And then I'm going to mute the mic, and the rest is yours. John?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had my mic.
Okay.
All right, here's the thing.
Is that pretty accurate, you know?
Definitely need people to get involved, to become educated, and to really understand what's going on. Right now, we have over 3,300 people that have signed up on National Liberty Alliance. We have quite a few people, 400 or 500 people, that usually come to our Monday call. Most people don't stay all the way through, but we do have quite a few. We probably have about 150 people that stay through the whole thing all the time. But generally speaking, throughout the night, we get between 400 and 500 people to come on a Monday call. We get a lot of people who download our program, so we have a lot of listeners.
Like 24 people in the chat room tonight, so more and more people are hearing about this and showing up for you. It's growing.
Oh, yeah, definitely is growing. So anyway, we have a lot of people. We have tens of thousands of people who have been watching us over the past year, literally tens of thousands. We know that because we have the Google Analytics, and we know how many unique visitors we get every month. And we get about 1,200 to 1,500 hits, sometimes 2,000 hits a day. And in that process of time, over the course of a month, our statistics show us that about 40% of those people are unique visitors. In other words, they just showed up during the month. They weren't here before. And about 60% of the people are returned visitors. In other words, people are coming and studying and going through the website. And so we're really working out very well with people coming. We have the people. We have the people. There's only a few states that are kind of short that don't have many people in it. But most of the states have more than enough people to be able to easily find a half a dozen people to take point. Okay, so we need to start off with bare minimum one, and that'll be eventually come 2, 3, 4, or 5. You know, we got to do this within the next few weeks. Again, we have the people; we just have to get them activated. With the people, most of the people that've been on our site, a lot of them have been educating themselves. They've been coming to the Monday night meetings. They've been downloading them, and now our Thursday meeting has become pretty popular too. You know, we've had, I think in our last one, almost 200 people came to that meeting over the course of the evening. And so we had, you know, we're building up there too. People are starting to realize that they can learn a lot, and that's what we have to learn about, the law and how things work. So anyway, we have the people. People just need to step up and say, I'm in. Look, at you anybody who understands that America is about to be lost forever, we're about ready to lose the United States of America. We're about ready to lose the 50 sovereign states. The people are about to lose their sovereignty. We're about to lose everything. It's up to you. If you understand and see what's going on, it's up to you to make the commitment and put this first and foremost from this point forward, understanding we're fighting a battle and we're fighting the good fight. We're fighting a battle against these crazy people and we can win if we commit. So anyway, with that, again, last time, send me an email, john@nationallibertyalliance.org. In the subject matter, put, I commit. I want your name, your state, your email, and your phone number. Four pieces of information in the body, in a column. It's easiest if you do it in a column. It's real easy because I can cut, you know, really drag and drop it right into my spreadsheet and then manipulate it very quickly and move on and to save time. I'm very busy all the time, and I'm always trying to do things as quick as possible. Anybody who's sending me long emails, don't think I'm reading them because I definitely am not reading them. I haven't got the time to read them. I'm sorry. That's why I do a Monday night program, to talk to people. You know, where do you find that one of the founders of an organization is available three times a week, 9 hours a week? We're available for questions on Monday nights for anything that we're doing with NLA. We're available for 3 hours on Thursday night for questions, anything on the law and how things work in the legal arenas. Okay, and we're also available now on Saturdays for Bible studies. So where do you find an organization that makes themselves available? We don't screen our calls. We take them right off the wing. You want to hit me with a hardball, you know, bring it on. I'll do the best I can. What at least you'll get is your honesty. That's what you're going to get. But, look, we've done our homework, and we need to do the job now. We've got to get it done. So let's open the phones up. Let's take our first caller, a wireless caller. You've been unmuted. Go right ahead.
Hey, John. This is Jay from North Carolina.
Good to hear from you, Jay.
Hey, I didn't... I read that email, and I know I sent you my name and address, you know,
you're
once
on the
again.
List. Yep.
Okay, well, you know my situation, so anyway.
I know your situation, so we'll...
Okay.
There's a couple of people with your situation, and we can live with that.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say you haven't been cutting out to us, so that must be something on Shake and Wake Radio's end. But I also, I ordered the books a couple of... I sent the money 2-3 weeks ago, and I don't know, I haven't
yours come in, and I'm sure it went out. I do have a couple that got to go out, and I don't believe your name was amongst them. Matter of fact, I know that it's not. I'm looking. So they went out. Maybe sometimes it takes a little longer, you know, because we don't mail it overnight or two-day mail, you know. So
right. And media mail is a little longer. They say 7 to 14 days, I think. But
yeah, but usually it gets to the people in less than 5, okay, usually.
Right, and I was wondering when you sent that out because I'm heading home this week, so.
It should be there. I'm surprised it's not there. It'll probably be there tomorrow. I sent it out over a week ago.
Okay. All right.
All right. Anything else, Jay?
No, that's it.
Oh, that was easy. Okay. Anonymous, you got the mic. Go right ahead.
John, it's Rosanna.
Hey, how you doing, Rosanna?
Hey. Well, I'm trying to get through it. I'm trying to muffle through everything. I had a nice conversation with Gerard last week. Covered a lot of things. But by the way, before I forget, I'm on the phone, and I'm in the chat on NLA, and I'm not having problem either way. I'm content. I just want you to know I'm not having problem either. I think it's from the Shake and Wake site, too, but I might be wrong. Anyway, what I'm calling you about is specific. I was told that one of the judges wrote back a response, and I've been looking for it on the site, and I can't find it, okay? I was told that one of the judges wrote back a response when you tried to put in the paperwork and you said something that the people don't have to pay for justice, they don't have to pay to put their papers in and everything. I guess one of the judges wrote back, and somewhere in his response he put, He agreed with that. He put that the people don't have to pay. That they're the people. They're living people or something, and they don't have to pay.
No, he didn't write anything. Not for what we're doing. No judge ever wrote anything like that. Okay, what they did is they tried to call us a group or some other name. Gerard, if you're here, you may remember what he said exactly, but something like calling us some kind of a group and that we had to pay and that he was going to throw it out in the next 30 days if we didn't come and pay his what he wanted, his money. And we did a writ of error, and we rescinded his decision, and we went forward.
Well, maybe he was referring to, well, the group has to pay the single living.
That was his point. His point was he was trying to make us a group.
Give me that. Give
with the people.
Yeah, I want that. Print that out. Is it on the web? Is it on Breaking News?
It should be there. I recall I should have put it up. If not, I'll check later to see. But I'm pretty sure I put it up.
Do you remember about when he wrote that?
No, I don't, but I'll go take a look, and I'll try to do that this week, and next Monday, if you don't find it by then, I'll probably know where it'll be if I put it up. I'll check to see if it's up there or not.
Okay. Was it in response to your writ of error, in response to something, what you call what?
Yeah, I'm sure we put it because it's called the writ of error. Just go back. It's the last writ of error we did. And
okay,
I rescinded it, so it would be right next to that.
Okay, all right. If it's the last writ of error, but just check and make sure it's out there, just in case.
Yeah, I'm making a note right now.
I think that's important because that supports that we, the people, don't have to pay to get access to the court.
Well, he didn't say that. He just referred to us as a group and went on. In other words, he wanted to make a point. And connect us with being some group, and therefore some kind of a fictional body, and
right.
Therefore has to pay. And that's what he was the position. But he didn't give the truth by saying, well, actually, people, if you're one of the people, you don't have to pay. He didn't say anything like that, but he left that out, and that was the game he was playing. Look at, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. They're really pulling for straws. And they also, what they did with the last papers we sent in is they put them over into what they believe is a court case. And we were clear that it was not a court case. They were using this process in order to get the papers filed into the file. And so we moved it from the state to the federal level. And when we wrote our papers, they filed the first one, but then they realized we indicted the judge. And they had to figure out, well, what are they going to do? And they said, well, let's just make believe we're thinking it's a court case, and we'll file it in the court case. And then we're going to throw it out anyway. You see, that was the game that they played on the one hand, and they think they're going to get away with it. But they're going to get caught because we're going to call the spade a spade. And we've done that. And we moved it forward, and we put the pressure on them. And I'm telling you, the last paper we wrote, which was, it was ultimately a mandamus to them and ordering them to sign the mandamus. And they all got that now. They got that by Wednesday or Thursday, right before the holiday hit. I mean, they must have had a terrible holiday. I got to believe that because they know it went everywhere. And now they're going to get hit with another one on Tuesday. We'll get it out. They'll have it by Wednesday or Thursday of this week. And they're going to get hit with another one and another one and another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand. I know, and that's what they need. But I'm saying, though, in that reply from the judge, what he was trying to say is a group, a corporation, blah, 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 has to pay. In other words, he was saying an individual wouldn't have to, but a group does.
Well, you can see that he was leaving that out, but he didn't say it.
Right, which is to our benefit, though, if we're filing as an individual case.
Well,
trying to
Well, again, yeah, you know, look, at everything's to our benefit because the law is always on our side no matter what we do, and we know we're on the right side, and that's that. But you got to remember, their game is trying to balance everything. And if they can balance everything, well, they can say, well, there you go, they can't do nothing to me because I've got a credible thing that I've done here, and I presumed it was that. They can't hold that against me. I was, they're playing a game, and we're calling their game, and they know it. They know it. When you look at it, they're nervous. There's no doubt about it. If they're not nervous, they're stupid.
Well, they're working all this for themselves, to benefit themselves, and we all know that. There's no doubt about it. Profit them, profit them. So, okay, well, that's what I want to know is where that was at, because I want to read that and see, you know, what that says. So, okay, well, listen, I'll let you go on. Oh, and by the way, John, I sent you two emails. I sent you two emails with my information, and you keep sending it to me like you never got it.
It's way too much for me to go through right now. I can't go through that. If you have an affidavit, if you've mailed me an affidavit, it's in the list.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about for the state. My name, my phone number, my...
Oh, yeah, I saw you're on the list, yeah.
I sent it to you twice, and it's like you never got it because you keep writing me back like, you know, there's...
Oh, no, well, look at what you're confusing. I have software that puts the name, the first name of every person on that email, so it does look personal, like you're getting a personal message directly from me to you. Don't get confused by that. It's just the way the email program works.
I know,
so
but I
send an email out that goes out to 3,500 people, and if your name is Joe, you know, hey Joe, it's Rose, hi Rose, whatever your name is, it gets personalized automatically in the software.
I know, but I sent you that information, and I just didn't think.
You're on the list.
All right, thanks, John, for everything, and I'll talk to you later. Bye. I'm looking for notaries too.
Huh?
I'm looking for notaries, too, across the country. Send them my way, John.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, next caller, 540. You got the mic. 540.
Hello, John. This is Anna Yisley from Virginia. I have been...
Get closer to your mic. We can't hear you.
I have been speaking... Is this better?
Better, yes.
Is this better? Okay.
It's better.
I can put my headphones on. Just take a second. I've been speaking to Dr. Edwin Vieira on, I have a blog talk radio show, and he is a Virginian constitutional attorney here in Virginia. He has brought out a few points I really think that the group should think about, and one is that the essence of free government is that the body of people go to their local courts, go to their local governments, go to their state legislature, and create laws on a local and state level. The fact that we as in National Liberty Alliance is going into the federal realm is bypassing the whole concept of we the people and local government, which is the essence of free government. I'm losing a little confidence that the taking this, not only taking whatever the, and I'm not really sure and understand what the intent is for these letters to be posed to the federal court system.
Because you only win in the federal court. I think we just lost Shake and Wake. Did we lose you, Rick? All right, I'm sure they'll be back again. They're bubbling up here. No, this is only meant for the federal. Rick, you back? Right. Anyway, no, this is our way into the court. We couldn't have planned this any better. We really couldn't. You know, if we would have pursued to win on New York court, that doesn't win in any other court. But when we win in the federal court, it wins in every court in the nation. It doesn't matter what state you're in, what county you're in. It's all 3,134 counties.
But, John, that really opposes, you know, when you think about the fundamental structure of free government.
No, you're not paying it. You didn't read the papers carefully. If you read the papers, it's access into the local state court. That's where we're going. We're going into that county court right there.
Well,
which
why, if you're looking at the organic common law concept of free government, why would you be going to the federal government to get permission for
because of the Constitution for the United States of America, the law of the land, Article 6. And it's a let me tell you something. The Constitution for the United States of America is a great document. Okay? You have to bring this document together with the... Remember, you know, we got a Bill of Rights. You cannot separate the Constitution from the Bill of Rights. They're one and the same. Okay? They're one document. And if you listen to the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, and you listen to the arguments and the letters they're writing back and forth in this argument, and really it's not an argument, it's concerns is what they're writing about. And they're interpreting what's going on, and they're alerting each other to the dangers in doing this and in doing that. And they hammered out this paper called the Constitution for the United States of America, and believe me, they have captured... The problem is we haven't been holding them to the Constitution. They have pulled the wool over our eyes. They've blinded us, and they've taken control of our schools, our education. They've taken control of the media. They've taken control of all these things. And in that process,
I agree with all that, John. But how,
yeah, in that like, process, in that process,
the local and on a state level, without the local governments and the state governments behind you, how is filing anything to the federal government without the support of your local and state governments? That's where I'm just not seeing that. I'm just not seeing what we need to do is educate
okay.
the people.
I can tell you
the
this.
People
I can
educate
tell you
the
this.
Legislators.
Hold on. You just haven't got it, that's all. I can assure you our focus is on our local courts at the grassroots. Our focus is taking back the state courts in every state. There's one in every county. That's why we focused in on every county. Our focus is to get authority and power and sit in there, not to sit in a federal court. We have no interest in sitting in the federal court, but we will control the federal court because each federal district covers a series of counties, okay? And we'll figure out a way on how we're going to deal with this. Particularly, let's say there's a person that they come out after in Dutchess County. That's the county I live in. And it's a federal court, and they need a grand jury for that. Okay, well, then the people of Dutchess County are going to be the people that are going to be decided upon, and we'll draw them in this county, and we'll send them over to the federal building for them. But we will bring them through the orientation. We'll train them to the ideals of the American ideals, our foundation, which is the Constitution, and we'll teach them the principles. They'll take the vow to God that they're going to obey those principles, and we'll teach them the two major maxims, and they will get all of that.
Okay, but I can't help but think that okay, so whatever you're doing in federal court, and I'm not really getting a good grasp on what are and that we don't need to talk about that right now. But whatever you do in a federal court, if it's not done on the correspondingly, now
you're
I
missing,
know you're just said,
missing it.
You're
missing it.
That
you're missing it. The state courts are so defunct, you ain't getting nowhere there. Look it. Let me tell you, we made a mistake, but it was destiny. Okay, it was destiny. We made a mistake by going to the federal courts in the first place. What did they do? They violated the heart of America. They violated the grand jury and the trial jury. And that is constitutional. And it is clear in Article 3, I think 3, 4, or maybe it's Article 4. I forget. Maybe Article 4. Where any case that is affected by the Constitution, okay, it becomes a constitutional case. It must be heard in the federal court. It's the jurisdiction of the federal court. Now we pursued this through the state, and it really worked out well. Number one, it gave us time to build. Number two, it gave us time to build a case. We found out exactly who is preventing us from going into the courts. So all, and then finally we said, wait, we got to move this into the federal court. And so we moved it into the federal court. Once we got in the federal court, we realized, you know what, we should have been in the federal court from day one. But it's good that it happened the other way. Okay, it's great that we made the error because the error allowed us to build the case and allowed us to find out who the enemies are, and they put their own foot in their mouth. So we got them. We know exactly who they are. We're going after the executive, the entire executive branch of the judiciary process here in New York. That's who we're going out after. And now we're in the federal courts. It belongs there. These people must be tried in a federal court. They cannot be tried in a state court. Clearly, they cannot be tried in a state court. because these are constitutional violations. And if the Constitution requires, and we the people wrote that Constitution, it requires the jurisdiction of the federal courts. So we're
It also requires that a majority of the body of people, or at least a good number of people who understand what you're doing, that's what
right.
you don't have. And I'm
well,
not
well,
saying...
Well, you know what? You know what we could do? It could take us a year. It could take us 6 months. We can set everything aside and go home and learn, and let's hope that everyone's going to go home and learn, and then we can come back and do this thing. No, we don't have that luxury.
Hold it.
That's why I'm calling together a group, an elite group, for lack of a better word, to come together and do the business that has to be done. There's got to be a spearhead in every state. One spearhead. We get a half a dozen people, we can spearhead the entire state. We can bring the state into order, even though we don't have everyone in place. Meanwhile, we'll have people flooding in, but that spearhead will be able to control those people and regulate them to a point where they don't take things out of control. Okay? We do have an educational process set up. We just haven't got, we got all this stuff up online. People should be up there studying right now. But we're going to have the actual course up soon. And a matter of fact, it's supposed to be completed today, so let's hope we're at that point, and we'll see where we are in the next few days online. But all this is in place. We have everything in place, but we're behind the eight ball in the sense that we may be getting in soon, and we're really not ready. But we can be ready in a couple of weeks by setting together a small group in each state to maintain the control and the focus.
Excuse me, John?
Yeah, I see you.
John?
Rick, yep. I see you back.
Your message must be really important. The chat room has got a ton of people in, and we just got knocked off the air for the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that. I was trying to get you back on, too. So, but
yeah, well, we got knocked off completely, man. They knocked Comcast right off.
Well,
so,
you
but
can,
it's
you
back,
can download.
So.
We have the entire program on our recording, so once we upload it, you can download it off us if you need to get the spaces.
Well, I just wanted to let everybody know the sound is back. We're back on.
Right.
Sorry about that. The NSA loves John.
So anyway, look, we have everything ready. Look, the other thing is we're trusting God. This is why it is so critical that people follow the plan. We have the plan. We're laying it out, and we're going to be laying it out to those people. And people need to follow it. Anybody that veers off the plan, we're going to ask them to leave. It's that simple. I hate to do things that way, but you know what? We have to do things that way. We have to get this job done right. The nation is at stake here, and we don't have time for people to come in and experiment and play games. We just don't have that kind of time. But
well,
you're right.
We
have to get educated. We have to get educated. And believe me, we do have a lot of people across the nation who are educated, and some of these people are in point positions. The question is, are they going to take those point positions? Okay, but the availability of them to take the point positions are there. They have the knowledge to be able to follow and keep up with us and do the job. All you got to do is mimic what we do. That's all. And we're going to be very specific and very, and it's really simple. It'll be point by point. You just follow A, B, C. It's literally that simple. The point is you don't know what A, B, and C until we reveal it to you. And if you did your own research, you could figure it out, I'm sure. But that's the point, okay?
That might be true. But a functional, you say we have everything in place, but to be functional, you have to have a body of people that are on all those levels. And I realize you're doing, it seems like you're
right,
going
well, we're doing the best
first.
We can. We're doing the best we can, number one.
Okay.
Okay. Number two, and this is why I keep pushing it over and over and over again, sense of honor, sense of justice, sense of mercy. You got those three things and understand the two maxims, you got everything you really need. Okay? You do need more because we are the administrators and we need to feed people, but that's all we really need is those three principles and those two maxims. That is the key. Once we get in there, if people are acting that way, we're going to have justice back in the courts. No matter what, you think these people know what they're doing? Believe me, They're a circus. They are a circus. They have no clue what they're doing themselves. The only thing they know is how to make their money, and they move everything around just so that they can make their money and keep their power, and that's all it is. They haven't got a clue on what's going on. They certainly cannot do anything that gives us justice because
and
they're
you're
too
asking
busy
permission
policing us.
From these federal courts.
You have not been reading our papers. No, you have not been reading our papers. If you think we've been asking for permission, you've been reading someone else's papers. You certainly have not been reading ours. No way. Not possible. We have not. We make that point. We ask nobody for anything. We tell them. We've been doing that from day one. We just did it to Scalia. If you read the papers we sent in, and we copied Scalia, if you read that very carefully, we mentioned his name in there. We ordered Scalia to sign the paper, right in that paper. We ordered him personally to sign that paper. We didn't ask him. We're not asking the United States Supreme
Court. I
wrote,
you're demanding and you're ordering. But
that's
you're
right.
A small clan of people from basically from New York now.
Oh, no.
Writing
oh,
on behalf
no.
Of the
oh,
entire
no.
United States.
Oh, no. I don't know where you're getting this information from. No, we've got thousands of people across America. We have active people in a couple other states. We've got activity going on in Tennessee. We're moving papers in Tennessee now as we speak. Okay, we're doing big things in Tennessee coming up. Okay, we're moving papers in Florida. We haven't written those papers yet. We're still working with the people down in Florida who have written their own papers and done a darn good job at it, okay? And they've also got access into the courts already, and they're hanging on by a thread, but they're in there, and we're about ready to back them up, okay, with the federal courts. And they you know, look at, we are working. There's other places we could be working, but people have not stepped up to do it. But maybe wouldn't been able to handle it all, you know, because we've got a lot of paper writing we're doing. So, but the thing is this, okay? We're going into every state. We need points in every state. They follow the same message we're doing, and everybody needs to be educating at the same time. Look, it's very, very simple on the one hand, but it's going to take your time. Freedom is not free. It costs your time. You want to be free, you have to put your time into it. Thomas Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So, yes, it's going to cost you to educate. When we get these papers up online and we get this course going, now we're going to see where the rubber meets the road. We're going to see who's really involved. You know, we got all the people saying certain things. Well, we're going to find out how serious they really are. But when the floodgates open, people are going to pour in to take that educational process that we're going to put up, and they're going to look to take positions, okay? And we're going to take control of this country by the grace of God. And the key thing to this whole thing is not so much of knowledge. Knowledge is an important part. We need to be continuing on that path of knowledge, and everybody needs to be doing that. If they don't, we're going to lose. But the key thing is bringing justice, having virtue, having standards, being humble, coming with grace and bringing in, honorably bringing in justice. That's the key. Because, you see, if we do that, then God's in the driver's seat. We're in it for the ride.
Okay. Well, I've been focused ever since I've gotten involved in National Liberty Alliance. I've been focused on teaching and reaching out to my local and state.
What state are you
in? I'm Virginia. And I'm going to continue to do that, but I'd like to just want to make a formal public announcement that I am listed as the state coordinator for Virginia, and the fact that we're now in the federal courts and you're filing from behalf of, you know, the entire United States, I just am not comfortable with my associating with that.
United, not when
so much work has to be done on local and state level.
You can think that so much work needs to be done on a local position in order to get into the courts, and it's not going to happen anywhere. We'll do it one county at a time, and maybe by 2024 we'll be in the courts. But if you really think America is going to be here then, I've got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you, because it's not going to be here. The bottom line is this. If you're concerned about it, you know, pass the leadership on to someone else. But the decision was made. We've laid out a process and a procedure with NLA. We have a plan. Now, not all of the plan has been revealed, because it can't be. Just think about it. We can't reveal the stuff that we haven't gotten to yet. How can we do that? They will make a plan against it. We can't do that. Plus,
I don't
from
know,
time
but filing
to time,
things without getting your state coordinators, without people knowing what's happening, that is
well, the state coordinators, Let me ask you, were you going to the meetings on Tuesday night? Were you there at every Tuesday night meeting?
They have canceled it, the Tuesday night.
I know that. They canceled it because of problems with too many people. Were you at the Tuesday night meetings?
I may have missed a few weeks.
Yeah.
The
answer is no. If you missed a few weeks, you missed all of them almost because they're only on for 3 weeks. Okay? That's the bottom line on that. And that's the kind of commitment we got. Well, look it. We're reestablishing that in a different way. If you want to get on board to really get on point to bring your state into control of the people, then you join up. If you're not willing or don't have the time to do that, fine. Someone else will do it, and that'll be that. But it'll get done. The job's going
to
get done.
There are people
that have complained all the way through this process, and let me tell you, it gets to a point where just enough of the complaining already. Come on. Look, NLA's got a plan. Get on board. We can't have 10 plans. We got one plan. If you think we got a problem or a mistake, bring it up. Let's deal with it. But I'll tell you right now, we're either going to go save America now or we're going to lose it tomorrow. That's it. We can't wait 6 months for people to get educated. They should have been doing this for a year. We have a lot of people here for a year, and I bet you a lot of them have not been educated yet. I don't know what they're waiting for. We had people crying and complaining because they thought we were moving too fast to get the states together and constituted. Well, we can't do that. Look, we made it up in the first place. We did an honorable thing. We put the ad in the newspapers, okay? But it wasn't enough for some people. Why are they slowing us down? Is there another agenda, or are they really that lost in reality? Because they're not paying attention, obviously. They want to go back and do every county one at a time and do these things. We were doing that one at a time, but we got to that point. We have states that aren't moving. We got to get them moving because either united we stand or divided we fall. We've got power and we've got authority in the courts right now because we have 50 states on board. Now, I know there are some people in some states, they're not happy with that for whatever reason. Well, look, they can step down from being a leadership. Let someone else take that position. Just be step down into just being in the jurist pool. That's okay. You can step back up later when you feel more comfortable. That's okay, too. But please don't hold us back. And that's what we had. Look, I recently had to get rid of somebody in the text area, in the chat area over in the meetup group, because they're always, every time they write something, it's negative. Negative, 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 negative. But how come they don't come to the Monday night meeting and pick up the phone or the mic and say, hey, John, you're doing it all wrong. Let me explain to you. They haven't done that. Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
No, they got to go over there and they got to make waves and make problems, confuse people. You get the weaker people that are just coming on board. They don't know too much, and they leave because, wow, what a madhouse this is. No, I made the decision. These people, either they're the enemy or the enemy that don't realize they're the enemy. They're just useful idiots or something, that they got to come in here to make havoc on the only plan, the only peaceful plan to save America. This is it. Anybody knows of another one, let me know. I'll go take a look. I haven't found it yet. This is the only plan that's peaceful, that can save America and can save America tomorrow. The only one. Only the people can save America. So anybody that gets up here and dogs it, I don't know why they would be dogging it. But you got these people that are on ego trips. They got this idea that they know something that we don't. I get it all the time, and they tell me on how I got to do things or we got to do things, but they don't come on and discuss it. They don't have a viable plan, but they just make complaints. I don't know what else to tell them, but enough already. That's all I can say, because we haven't got time for that anymore. America is going down. You know, there's some big moves that were made by the banks recently. Five banks pulled out of something. I forget, Gerard was telling me about it.
International?
Something on the international level, yes.
Yeah, China and Russia and another one is getting together to form their own international bank outside of the Federal Reserve.
Do you understand what that means? You want to take down the world? You want to take down the world? Destroy the dollar and the world falls. The whole thing was created that way. And they can do that overnight. Destroy the dollar, and you won't have electricity tomorrow. Foods will be off the shelf in 2 days. There'll be riots in the streets within the next 3 or 4 days. 30% of the population at least would be dead within the first 30 days. Okay.
The American dollar is based on an unbiblical, unconstitutional concept.
We all know that.
Currency.
We all know
right.
that. We all know that. I'm telling you that the dangers are here.
It needs to fall.
No, you think it needs to fall. You think it needs to fall because you think that's going to be the solution because they've convinced you of that. When that falls, you're done. I'm done. Lock and load. Lock and load when that falls.
Well,
get ready for
it.
The ride
There's
of your life.
Mm-hmm. That,
okay?
That'll give
now,
us an opportunity. I look at it, it'll give
it
an
is
opportunity
true.
For an opportunity.
No, you're missing it. Kennedy had the right solution. Kennedy had the right solution. He knew he couldn't shut down the Federal Reserve. He was going to put him out of business by the silver certificate.
Yeah,
he knew exactly
right,
what he, that's why they took him out. We know exactly how to take this back. We're not going to discuss that at the moment. We know exactly what needs to be done. It could be done very, very quickly. When I say very, very quickly, 30 days it can be done, okay? And when the time comes, people will see it and they'll know it, and then they'll do it, and it'll happen. But right now, if you think them pulling the plug on the dollar is something good, you don't understand the New World Order. You don't understand the plan. Because trust me, 30%, if not more, of the people of the entire nation will be dead within the first 30 days. Let me repeat that. 30% of the population of the United States of America will be dead within the first 30 days if they pull the monetary plug. Take that to the bank. That's a fact. And if people don't understand that, think about it for a while. There's no electric. There's no food. No trucking. No communications. You have no clue what's going on. We have over 600,000 foreign troops on American soil. What do you think they're going to be doing? What do you think Obama is planning? You think he cares about us and our children and our welfare? You think so? Believe me. I don't think
that's why.
About this.
Staying on a local community level is also, you know, part of the plan because you know, staying in contact with your local law enforcement sheriffs, and I know you know most would believe that they're all corrupt or whatever, but it's a community by community. Those communities
we have
to
a
stay
plan.
In contact.
We have a plan for all that in 30 days from the moment we take power. That's why we got to organize. From the moment we take power, if we're organized in the 50 states, we got about a half a dozen or even three people. We'll do it what we got to do it. We will get it done. And three or four more people will join on very quickly when we're taking power anyway. Okay? But at least the three people that have been paying attention and coming to the meetings and know what to do, those other three people will follow their lead. And they'll probably get dozens of people at that point when the landslide of people come into the system, and they'll all learn together at one accord. The first 30 days, that's going to be the school of hard knocks. That's going to be your education. Now you're going to know how things work by the time you get to the end of those 30 days, just by following the instructions we've got. Okay? So
okay.
People, that's the way it is. I can't tell you any more than that, and there's details I'm not going to discuss in public because it would be dumb. So,
okay, John, thanks for taking my concern.
That was very vigorous here. So. Okay, next caller.
God bless.
You too. Tammy, I think it is, 845.
Yeah, hey, John.
Yes.
Good evening, everybody. Actually, it's night, so good night, everybody. So this is my question, because I did get your email, and you're, in fact, correct. You sent out a number of emails, you know, pertaining to state coordinators. So I saw like Virginia, the Carolinas, Louisiana, Louisiana, Mississippi for state coordinators. But this is my question. Now, do you have to live in that state to become a state coordinator for a different state or another state that you may not actually live in? That's the first question. And the second question is, if you can or cannot, if you become a state coordinator, say just whatever state you're in, because you can't be one in another state, how are we compensated? I mean, like, how do we do the traveling, and are we compensated? You know, is there a something set up, a fund that would take care of, like, your travel? Because I heard you say, and then also on the email, it stressed the dedication that is kind of like, you know, outside of God, that would be your next primary thing, you know.
Right.
So
okay, well, let me respond to what you got, and then you can ask more because it's piling up.
People too.
Yeah. Huh?
I said it may help out some other in LA.
Okay, first off, everything we're doing is out of pocket. right now, all of us, okay? Once we get access into the courts, we have a plan on how to get the money going on this process. And again, that's going to be simultaneous with what action we're doing. And we will have to travel a little, but not a lot. I can't get into the details, but okay. We may have to travel maybe one day. We may have to travel 4 hours somewhere into our state. Maybe another day we may have to travel 2 hours somewhere in our state. And we may have to do that 3 or 4 times over the course of a month, okay? And that may be out of pocket, and we're just going to have to work and throw our pennies together and do what we got to do. That's the cost of freedom. Now, once we get into power and we get the money straightened out, we have a plan for that, which I'm not going to talk about. Matter of fact, it's already written up, and we've already – let me think about this. I think we even did a video PowerPoint on this. I don't remember. I think we did. And that's all ready to go, but we're not revealing it yet because, again, it's not wise to reveal certain things at certain points. You know what I mean? But it's there. It's done. And as far as working two states, if a person is sort of living in two states, we have a situation where we have a member who lives in one state most of the time because they're working there, but they also live in another state. And the other state that they live in that they're not in too often, maybe weekends they are, I don't know, but that's really where they really consider themselves living, they're state leaders in that state. So we do have people that are working more than one state. But at some point, you know, it's going to get busy where they're going to have to really be paying attention to one of those states alone because I don't think they'll be able to do the work on two states.
Okay.
But they'll have to work that out.
Okay. All right. That's what I really wanted to know because of the.
And we do have a small group of people who have become state leaders state leaders in other states during the process of constituting, and they did that in order to work in that state and get things going. Okay. So they should be removing themselves now that those states are done and up and running. And constituted, they should be removing themselves from that position because it only confuses people.
Okay, now my second question, then I'm done. The second question is, I have to go to court tomorrow for a ticket, right? And so when I go tomorrow, I was already given...
Let me just finish one other thing. A couple of those states don't have a state leader yet, maybe, and these other people have their names there. They probably should remain there until they can pass the hammer, so to speak, on to another person. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm going to go tomorrow to court, and they want me to pay the fine, which I want to use the common law. What would I actually need to do tomorrow? Because I'm coming for the fine portion, and they already know I'm coming.
Oh, pay the fine and sue them later.
Okay, so just pay the fine. I'm going to ask for community services, actually, because in lieu of the fine, you know, you can always request community services because they just want you to give something back to.
Okay. Yeah, they really want your money. I doubt they're going to give you community.
I know they want the money.
They want your green, man. And they think it's worth something. They're so dumb, they don't have any idea that's all debt themselves. They know and they don't know. They don't know
right.
It's all going to fall soon.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John. All right. And enjoy the remainder of this coming week. I'm done.
Bye-bye. Okay, next caller, 239. You got the mic.
Yeah, hi, John.
Hi. Yes.
Can you hear me? I can hear you. I want to say thank you for all the great work you do, and I know that you're very busy. And my question is, there's a weather modification document that was disclosed by someone to me, and it has 4,100 different individuals involved, and there are 6 control centers, and the control center for New York and the Northeast is Scott Air Force Base in Southern Illinois. And my question is, with these weaponized weather weapons, how would that work in the federal court system when you have a...
Can the caller get a little closer to the phone? He's a little low in volume.
Yeah, get closer to your mic or your phone.
Can you hear me?
You go ahead. Just speak up and stay close to your phone. Go ahead.
Anyway, I was asking, the weaponized weather weapons, and the fact that Scott Air Force Base is the weather control center for everything north of Pennsylvania to the Mississippi River, all the way up into Canada, would be controlling. We just had massive floods in New York and Detroit. How would that work in terms of indicting those 4,100 different individuals?
Well, look at first order of business is to secure housing and shelter and food. That's the first order of business, and that means we need to get into the courts and bring the courts under control. We need to do that by dealing with the judges, dealing with the prosecutors, and then we need to deal with the sheriff, which brings our county under control in order to secure the resources within our county, and then any excess resources can then flow to the counties next door, and they'd be doing the same thing. So no matter what they do economically to us, we will have a food source and a movement, and people will get together doing work to get the community going. You won't be going, if they crash the system, you won't be going to whatever job you have right now. You'll be reporting to the sheriff or someone in the militia as we reestablish that and saying, okay, what can I do today to help? And that's where your work is going to be, and your payment is going to be food, and it's going to be electric and water and all the necessary things, you know, that you need to survive, because that's the only way we can do it. And that's what we're looking to set up in every single county. We can have that set up in 30 days or less. Now, also part of that plan and program is to go and talk with the Assembly and the Senate of our states, and also with the Governor's Office, and to read the Riot Act to them and get them on board. Now, believe me, at that point, it doesn't matter that some of these people might be the enemy. Believe me, they're going to do the right thing because they won't have a choice in the matter, okay? Otherwise, they'd face indictment. And so if we're all doing that, we can achieve this whole process in 30 days. But we can only do that if we build an elite group that gets together and understand what they need to do when the day comes. And in order to do that, they got to come to a meeting, and they got to learn, and we got to discuss the different details and lay it out. That's what we got to do. And that's how it's going to work. Now, as far as indicting people and other things and the dangers and what they can do to us, look at, once you get your courts back, game over. Game over. I don't care what evil's going on. Game over.
Because they were very, very, I sent you and other, you know, Hagen and Roger, the Department of Defense weather document, and they mm-hmm. are proudly talking about their, it's called Department of Defense Operational Weather Scouting.
Well, you know, we have other things too. Probably our biggest weapon really is a weapon that we don't control, and ultimately that's God. You know, God's got a whole hold on this whole thing, and
sure.
And he can have people running when no one's chasing them. He can take out people, and nobody has to. No other people have to pick up a hand to do anything about that. Anybody reading their Bible, we've brought some of these stories up in the past on the amazing things that God has done for His people to protect them and care for them. So we're ultimately expecting God really to do the work, because all we could do is the right thing, whatever's in front of our face at the time. That's all we can do. But the big plan and the master plan and the actual winning of this whole thing—that's God. That's up to God. And so, and again, you know, if we're not blessed by God, we're cursed, aren't we? You either get a blessing
sure.
or a curse. If he's not blessing us, he's ignoring us, and that in itself is a curse, okay? So
okay.
We're either going to be blessed by God, and we'll only be blessed by God if we're doing the right thing and lift him up. And if we don't do those things, then we're going to be cursed by God. But as far as this weather thing, and there's a thousand other things, it's not the only, there's so many things. We don't have to worry about any of that. Because look at, you bring your court under control, and you bring it under the common law, and you bring the political process within your state under control, and every state does that. You just brought Washington under control, and all the necessary things that are going to have to happen from that point forward will happen, and I'm not going to discuss the details. People should understand what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Things, justice will come to America if we can get to that point, but it's up to the people to get us to that point.
And I have one more point. One more question. There's a book that was in reference to when you first started the call tonight. It's called The Men Behind Hitler by Thomas Roeder. And it talks about, the book is called Psychiatrists, The Men Behind
okay.
Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I shared that in the chat room, and I'll share it again. It has an ISBN number. That book should be in every public library, but it's not. The only public library I found it in is in New York. So it talks about how they did exactly what you were saying at the beginning, how they demonized and persecuted and discredited those that were unhappy with what was going on during or before World War II. And so that's a very poignant point, a very good point that you made, because they'll do it again in what you said.
Well, they're doing it. They're doing it right now as we speak. I see it all the time, people being brought to under psychological scrutiny in the courts. And I want to tell you that paper, the papers written for that guy that they put on that wanted, person of interest, we worked with them. It's the same kind of paperwork we have everywhere. It quotes exactly what we say. It doesn't say anything crazy. It talks about, ultimately, United States Supreme Court rulings. It talks about the law, the real law, the codes that do apply to them. It talks about the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and quotes from our founding fathers. Exactly. And yet they did what's called a 730 on this guy here in this state. And also they put up this post to a person of interest to intimidate him, and posted it all over the courthouse. He saw it when he got in. He was able to take one, and that's how we got a copy of that. And they're all in denial over that, every one of them. And we're going to go out after them. We're going to go out talking to them.
Well, so, they were first saying that if you believed in an alternative 911 theory, that the Twin Towers and the Pentagon were attacked by homegrown terrorists, that was, I was following this, and I was thinking to myself, okay, so we don't have any opinion anymore as scientists and engineers, and we sure do have an opinion, and that's they're using those tactics. Sadly.
People are intimidated. They've been dumbed down. They've been broken apart. They think they're all alone, and everything they do doesn't work. Complacency has set in, and that's where we're at. That's why when people really realize what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, there's new hope, and we're very close.
Well,
right now.
I just posted to the chat room the weaponized weather Department of Defense document. It was sent to me from a very, it's a military PDF. They're very proud that they have weaponized the weather, and the main control center for the entire U.S. and world is Omaha, Nebraska, and then there's six other satellite
controls. Yeah, that'll all fall apart once people take control. You got to understand, people are going to leave those posts. I mean, it's just going to happen on its own. Most of America's problems are going to disappear very quickly because people are going to leave their posts. Otherwise, they know they're going to jail. They know it. Once we get control of the courts and we start making a few indictments, believe me, everyone else is going to go hiding. They're going to become goody-two-shoes. They're going to say, oh, no, not me. And they're not going to do their evil deeds. They're going to leave their post, I'm telling you right now. I mean, they may stay on the post with where they're at, but the point is they're not going to be playing around with that weaponry. There is the hardcore, and like I say, the only way to make sure we close them down is to make sure we do this in 30 days. That's why it's so important for people to understand. Anyone that thinks we got 6 months to wait, They don't understand the problem. They don't understand the enemy.
Yes, that's right. So, anyway, thank you very much. I don't want to take too much of your time. I think you're doing a fantastic job, and God bless you, and I know you're very busy.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. 620, next caller. Go right ahead. 620-870.
Yeah, I was on muted.
I do that all the time.
We just lost power. I just got a couple things, John. We haven't got our handbooks here in Kansas yet, but I want to go ahead and start filing papers into our courts to get some real estate. So should I just work off of our presentment that went out national and kind of build from there?
Well, we'll talk on the phone on what kind of papers you want. Remember, the papers got to be filed that works for the nation. We want to file papers on people preventing us from getting access into the courts. Yes, if that's what you want to do, let's talk about that. Catch me one of these evenings, and then we'll find time during the day or whenever we have to talk to get into that. You can start writing some papers. You send them to us. We'll take a look at them. We'll work with those papers, and we'll make sure it's focused. The only two kinds of cases we're dealing with right now is anything that keeps the people from out of the courts, anything, we're going to deal with that. Anything that deals with fraud on the people concerning the, like jury tampering, concerning very specifically jury tampering, anything that has to do with jury tampering, whether it's preventing people from seeing a grand jury, or preventing or controlling a trial jury or a grand jury. We're very interested in those cases, and we're indicting right now. We're dealing with people like that, exactly what we're dealing in Florida. Those are the cases in Florida right now. It's also the case in Tennessee with Commander Walt. We took on Commander Walt's case for a couple of reasons. Number one, it played right into what we're doing. It was like sent to us from God. It's just the right case. We haven't been able to move as quick as we want to, but again, that's God's terms. It's not ours. We've been so bogged down with other things that we have to deal with first, but we do have most of the paperwork written for Commander Walt. We're doing a habeas corpus for him, and we're going after these people because they were tampering with the jury. This was huge fraud, not only on the grand jury, but also on the trial jury. And we can prove it.
Absolutely.
And this judge made statements in the courtroom that was recorded on videotape by the news. I can't believe this guy's this dumb. He must be, I don't know what's wrong with this guy. But he said unbelievable things concerning the Constitution and the people and their rights and their being sovereign, and we're going to go after him. Matter of fact, we can't not go after him. It's so serious. But it's all about his control, him and the prosecutors, total 100% control of puppet juries and grand juries. So those are the cases we want. If that's what you've established, those cases, let's go forward with them. Let's talk. Okay? You guys should be signed up on the meeting that's coming up for I Commit.
Yes, sir.
If you're going to be doing cases, you got to commit. And if you're committing, then you should be coming to our other meetings, and then we'll work with your cases because that helps to put the pressure, okay? Helps to put the pressure on.
Yeah, I got you. All right, I got another question. Are we still working with the breaking news as far as its release? I'm speaking with some people.
We're putting all the news up on our page. I've given up trying to get the news. They're all complacent with this whole thing. I think a lot of these news programs, all the major media, they need to be going looking for new jobs because we, the people, are going to see to it that their licenses are pulled and the bidding goes out to other people to take on the control of the news. They had a duty to protect America. They're protected under the First Amendment. Okay, they are protected under the only business protected under the First Amendment, and they failed the people. They know what's going on, and they failed the people. They need to leave, and they will leave once we get control. I'm sure across America it's going to be unanimous together. I can't speak for sure, but I believe it's going to be unanimous together. They got to leave. Their licenses all need to be pulled, and new people need to take control because they failed us miserably. So, but now going back to the news.
I would think it would be some type of a rights violation for them to have been able to do that.
Yeah, they should be in jail.
That was their job, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. They're enemies of the people of the United States of America. They're our enemies. Now, as far as talking with the media, we've come to the conclusion that, look at we can't talk to the media, because no matter what we say or what we do, they're going to twist it to their own benefit. So let's best not. It's best just to not to say anything. And the response is, look, I'm, you know, when they come to you personally, look, I am sitting on the actual grand jury, you know, a standing grand jury at the moment, and I cannot comment. It would be unethical for me to comment. Maybe I'll talk later, but I can't comment now. So that's your excuse to get rid of them. On the one hand, the other side will say, if you're interested in all the details, it's very specific. Everything that's been done across America is posted up on National Liberty Alliance. Just click on news, nationallibertyalliance.org, click on news, and you can read everything that went into the courts. And then you can print it. You got plenty of stories up there. Go do it. See, don't give them any fodder. We're not going to talk to them. Nobody should talk with the press, because, believe me, as much as you think you're going to control them, forget about it. It's not going to happen. Now, we do have a few people who have approached us and are going to do some stories. They're us. They're with us. They've been with us for a while, some of them, and they're going to try to get the story out right. And so we'll work with them, and we'll let see where that goes. But generally speaking, if Fox News came up to me, or ABC News, or CNN, I can't say a word. I'm on a standing grand jury at the moment, and it's unethical for me to speak. But all the things you need, everything you want, is right there. All the documentation is there.
Yeah, that's where I've been directing them. I'm just thinking local radio stations and newspapers. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely, that's where I'll direct them. All right, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right, our next caller is 303. And by the way, Rick, after this caller, if you got anybody over there that's got a question, maybe you can relay it over. 303, wireless caller, go right ahead. You got the mic. 303-717, wireless caller. You got the mic.
John, it's Charlie in Colorado.
How you doing, Charlie?
Hey, I just want to mention, by the way, Johnny, or the gentleman from Kansas, I was one of the people with the instructions to help the other states. Johnny, 2 months ago, I want to just tell you, this man is amazing that just spoke. He got his state constituted within, I think it was 2 weeks after I talked to him.
Great.
So, good guy. And we need a lot more of those. Anyhow,
right.
Can I state a couple questions and points and then allow you to comment?
Yeah,
regarding the email you sent over the weekend, I know there was a little confusion, and I honestly was confused, and I think possibly some other people were confused.
Right. I saw some people were. I'm not sure that I could have, you know, I was a little obscure because I don't want to get into a lot of detail, but the bottom line is those people who want to be on point, it's now time to stand up and really take a lockdown on it. This is it.
John,
we have a lot of state
coordinators.
They should be on board now. Get on board.
Okay, John, I agree with you, but if things are going to be ambiguous, we're left on our own.
Well, they won't be after the first meeting.
Okay, that's
obvious.
Fine.
Look, there are things I cannot speak about because why don't we just call the enemy up and tell them what we're doing? You see what I mean? We can't do it.
Well, they hear us all the time, but that's here and there.
Well, they do. They do.
Yeah. But I want to thank you for the information about the course that's going to be posted. I know here in Colorado we've got a couple people that have been really just asking about this, and I know a number of people within the states that really want this information. But in the meantime, I spoke to a couple people within the state this evening and over the weekend. I just tell people in the meantime, you know what, until you get your jurist handbooks, go memorize it. It's 40 pages, and it's online. So that's my suggestion, and I'm doing it out of love. I would like to ask the question about the affidavits that some of us sent to you within the past 2 weeks. Are they going out with the federal filings?
No, they're not going out with the federal filings. They're used to make the federal filings, and they'll be the evidence sheets necessary when the time comes, but we don't want to post the actual affidavits. We don't want to put people's names out there, but we want to get control of the courts, and when we get control of the courts and the indictments start to roll, then we know we can start to release those affidavits to the appropriate places to be used accordingly. you know, in a court of law.
Okay, fair enough. Very good answer. Okay, and as far as the vigorous conversation that he had with the state leader from Virginia, I know she was talking to a constitutional lawyer. I know of such no entity, but that's my personal opinion. Please don't throw darts at me.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. She said, I meant to bring that up, but we got into a lot of things. She said a constitutional attorney, which is an oxymoron.
Right.
And there's no, in my mind, there's no such thing as a constitutional attorney, because an attorney is focused in on statutes, and someone constitutional would be focused in on founding documents and not statutes.
Yeah, and she was really confused, and I want to say respectfully,
right, but she,
I was
just, she is one of us, just what you know. It was a vigorous conversation. I think it really, I think it benefited us. I think it benefited me particularly because I voiced myself in a way that I don't normally voice myself. But it had to be said, and it really, I think it edified the people listening, I think, and to realize we have a serious problem. We need to deal with it now. We don't, look, at we're educated as much as we're educated. Just follow the leads of those who know what to do, and you'll figure the rest out as you're going, and we'll become educated as you're going, and everyone will get control of their own neighborhoods when the time comes. But right now, collectively, we need to bring the entire nation back to a place of order in the courts. And obviously, it's going to start in the federal courts, in the sense that the federal courts are going to start to be obedient, and that's going to go right down to the commandment, down into the state, and every other court below it. Every other court below it is unconstitutional and eventually will be shut down because they have to shut down.
Well, passionate conversation, respectfully, is done for our benefit in growing our knowledge, as long as it's respectful.
Right.
But I know, and again, I'm not throwing anything at that particular lady in Virginia. Again, she stepped up to the plate. Bravo for her. But she mentioned the fact that she said that she was concerned that there was no support of local government. Well, you know what? Not throwing something at her, but that's the very point of the common law grand jury. You know,
right? That's true.
Not,
we don't have the support
of local government. Where do we go? We go to the very investigative body of the grand jury.
Well, look, we don't need the support of local government. What we need is the fear of local government. They need to fear us. The fear of the people is the beginning of bringing us back on track, okay? And so we don't need their support. We don't need them to agree with us. We just need them to fear us and therefore obey us, and we'll get the job done. And some of those people will love us because they will see the contrast as time goes on.
Yeah, and as far as paying fees, I want to go all the way back to Rosanna's phone call. People, and it goes back to you, John, and in what is being done on National Liberty Alliance website. If people don't go on and read what's posted and all the resources, it's your loss. That's the way I see it. But I believe in one of your papers, I don't remember where, and I know I've sent stuff to you on this, but again, the case of Crandall v. Nevada, in 1867, which says there is no requirement for fees. And again, 11 Amateur 326, Section 40. Can I read this for a second? Because Steve B. in Colorado sent this to me years ago, and it's been really helpful. And I said,
go right ahead.
Blog.
Yeah, read it.
Okay. We will sell no man. We will not deny any man either justice or right. The chief purpose of the Magna Carta provision was to prohibit the king from selling justice by imposing fees on litigants through his court, and to deal a death blow to the attendant venal, disgraceful practices of corrupt judiciary in demanding oppressive gratuities for giving or withholding decisions in penal causes. It goes on, but essentially that's the crux of it. So, people, this stuff is in there. I mean, John, I know it's in one of the papers, but people have got to go back. If you don't know the papers, you don't look at the law, you're not going to be honestly capable of serving on a grand jury, in my opinion.
Well, no. People don't really need to know the law on that level to serve on a grand jury. because most of common law is common sense, and we're really looking to restore the individual. People can see the wrongdoing. They can restore the individual, and they're more capable of restoring, figuring out how to restore the individual than anyone else is. They're local to them, and that's why. But what is important is the administrators, that they know this. They have to learn this. And look at it, it's just a matter of reading this stuff and getting involved and reading papers and really digging down deep with it. And the more and more, and we got most of this stuff is on tape, you know, so you can listen to it or you can watch it and you can read it. And as time goes on, believe me, it'll wash all over you, and you'll just take it by osmosis. It'll be taken in. Next thing you know it, one day you'll be in a conversation, something will spill right out of your mouth, and you're going to wonder, where the heck did that come from? Well, you know where it came from, because you were saturated with this stuff, and that's how it works. So the administrators, they have to learn. They have to do their homework. They got to take the courses, and they just got to be around it. Don't worry about memorizing it. Just worry about understanding it. Everything else will come in its own time. But we have to be able to assist people that are in the grand jury and assist the people that are in the trial jury when they have questions and give them advice and ideas. But really, the decision-making is up to them. But when they need us, they'll call us, and we'll respond. And if we don't have the answer, we tell them, look, I don't have the answer to that one, but look, I'm going to get back to you later on today or tomorrow. Let me call some other people up. And you call other people up and get the answer.
Yeah. Or
you do
John,
research.
Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for correcting me. You know what? You're right. I wasn't trying to say that people should be able to quote the case Crandall v. Nevada or 11 right. American jurisprudence, because in essence, most people know, should we have to pay for justice? Common sense
right.
and reason
absolutely
says,
not. Right.
No.
Exactly. Exactly. Look, everyone should be able to get into a court and deal with their problems without having to spend their life savings. It's ridiculous, because that's what people have to do to get any. And look, after they spend their life savings, they still don't get justice. So, you know, the whole thing's it's a fraud. But when we get this system back up and running, people are not going to have to do that. People should
well,
be able
I,
to take care
I have
of their
a couple
own cases.
Thumb drives that basically mirror just what you said in actual evidence, you know, and I'm like that gentleman that basically had said that he commits, I'm restrained. And there's a few of those, but we're still committed, John. I've been out there for a year and a half. Most people have been out there maybe the same or less,
right.
But we're committed.
Right. I know that people are committed. I know that people are committed to some degree, but now we're getting down. It's time to go to war, so to speak. And when you're called up for the duty, you can't put it off. You got to come. So we're looking for the people who are volunteering to be the SEALs or the Green Berets, or that's who we're going to be now. Those are the people we need front and center right now, the people willing to give their time no matter what it is and no matter when it is. Now, we're not looking for people full-time doing anything like this, but we're looking for – we're going to have a couple of meetings a week. We need to get educated and get ready and prepared. And then we got 30 days of labor to do. And I wouldn't say every day, but, you know, 30 days of planning. And we're going to have to travel here and travel there, probably about 4 or 5 different locations around your state to get this job done. So that's
John,
how it's going to go.
John, I could say, lastly, Stephen and Steve B. and a number of gentlemen, I mean men, real men, have devoted, I mean, at least 6 solid months out of the pocket, time, energy, and we're committed.
Right.
These are real people in real time.
Right.
That are committed.
But now I need to know that they're going to be in the meeting. Okay, if they're going to be in that meeting, now maybe they're committed in a different way. Maybe they can't be committed in a way we need them to be committed. But if they can't be, then we need someone else to take that place, because each state has to be represented and has to be prepared and have the necessary tools and equipment to win the war. And if you don't have that, you can't win the war. That's what we're talking about. We're looking to arm the people with the necessary weaponry to win the war, so to speak.
Okay, John, could you give me some wiggle room on this comment? Is it possible that you can look at us? Okay, like, because I've got restrictions. I see Stephen as being the leader, but there are so many people around him. Like, I've mentioned a couple other people, okay? but we've got our arms linked together. We all hold different gifts and strengths just according to Scripture. Why can't we link our arms and be part of that chain?
I don't see a problem, but that's what you need to be. Look, at that's what
okay,
they're doing
great.
In Florida. Roger has made
okay,
that
cool.
point already. That look at, you know, when they go and meet, everybody knows their place, that certain people have certain knowledge in certain areas. So when they're discussing things and dealing with people, it's not always the same people speaking. All of a sudden, a different person speaking and someone else, everybody else is being quiet because they know that person is more qualified on that subject than they are. And when it comes to their expertise, then they speak up. And, of course, that's the way we all should be, and that's how we're going to be if we're doing this thing right. And it takes more than one person. It's going to take, as I said, a half a dozen people. Each state's going to need a half a dozen people to do what has to be done. We have 50 states times 6. That's what? 100, 200, 300 people we need. That's what we need, 6 per state. Now, if you have 12 people, the more the merrier. Of course, we need 12 people. 6 is the minimum. Actually, I don't want to say 6 is the minimum. 6 is sort of the minimum. If you end up with 4, that'll do too. But you know, when we get into the courts, I think we're going to have an influx, a very big influx, and a lot of people are going to jump up and take the position. So the people who have been trained during this time period, if it's only 1 to 3 people, they'll be able to lead the other 4 to 6 or 8 or 10 people that are coming on board later on, because they don't know what to do, but they need that manpower, and they can be in training as it's actually happening. But we need someone in each state that understands what to do and when to do it. We have to have that.
Thank you for the gift of time. Lastly, the lady that mentioned about the traffic ticket or whatever ticket it was or whatever the fine was
right.
going to be.
Right.
John, don't get me wrong. And the lady that called in, this is no disrespect either. But those are the calls for Thursday. Okay,
uh-huh.
And if there's a fine, pay it. Or try to argue the matter the best you can. If you win, send a donation to NLA for paper. And but you know, Don, don't get me wrong. I cannot hear another one of these cases on a Monday call. There's too many other things that are important.
Well, yeah, I agree. It was short, though, and she's going,
okay.
I guess, tomorrow. So, but
and
yeah,
I know.
If it was
trust
long,
me,
I wouldn't
I,
let it
know.
Go long. So
I know.
And some people
so,
don't
and
know.
It was
though,
no
either.
Disrespect to her either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay. Next
good
caller. Good night. Next caller. 661-251.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is
Hi.
Ellie from California. I have only one
doing,
question that
yes.
I need to understand.
Yes.
What happens if they impose martial law? Will that be too late for us to do anything anymore? Is this going to be the end of the road? Is this when everything is gone and we cannot...
I think if they pulled martial law before we succeed... unless we got communications over the internet and continue, it's a different story. It's I hope you got a lot of food. Hope you got water. I hope you got a place to run if the time comes to run. I hope you got weapons and a lot of bullets. That's all I can say for that time period. We're trying to cut that time period off. We're trying to prevent that from happening. And that's why we need to move quickly and move now. We don't have the time to pussyfoot around. We have to get this job done. So we have to be prepared to fight this battle now the way that on our terms. And I think we're extremely close. I think it's coming, and it's really, really close. I really do believe that, but time will tell. And we're just going to move on and press on and keep getting prepared. You know, ultimately, it's not our timing. It's God's timing. And I strongly suspect that ultimately before this world ends, because I do believe the world's going to end, I think the Lord's going to come and judge the entire world soon. And I don't know what soon means, years maybe, I don't know, months, I don't know. That's his business, not mine, I don't know that. But before that happens, I truly believe from everything that I'm starting to see, and I've been looking real hard at this, that I think that... he's going to bring judgment on the elite. and this new world order. It's before the world ends, he's going to bring judgment upon them. And I think the best way to bring judgment upon them is to bring justice, which is synonymous with virtue, back into the halls of justice. Wow, I think that's great. I think that's where it could possibly happen. But we'll see, you know.
Bottom line, martial law will stop us from going on.
That's right. But okay. We can stop martial law if we get in time.
Okay.
If we get in and take control and put things into press, look it. I want to say it again. 30 days is our plan. It can be done in 30 days if we set ourselves up to understand what we have to do when the time comes and everybody's out there doing it. We can be communicating as we're doing it. But 30 days we have to get our job done. At the end of those 30 days, we'll be able to take a breath because I think we'll be at a point where if they pull martial law, it's not going to have any effect on us. That's my perception. I think, and again, it's a matter of, look, that's why we have to have one plan. Everybody's got to be doing the same thing. If you got 50 plans and people doing 50 different things, that's chaos. It's chaotic and we lose.
John, I am committed to help in every way I can, but I absolutely don't know what am I committing myself to. This is a point I need to understand. Am I committing my time? Am I going to...
Yes, you're committing your time.
And what would be the limit of time? Like every day, 24 hours? Or how
no,
is...
No. It'd be a couple of meetings a week, maybe an hour or two at a time. And when the time comes, it'll take 30 days to get the job done. Those people will lead point. You won't be traveling 30 days. You'll be probably have to go to five or so locations within your state and spend the day getting there and taking care of the business and getting home. So it's going to take maybe 5 to 6 or 7 days out of the month to get this job done.
Okay, will
That's
I be traveling by myself? Do I have
No, you'd be with other people. Now, yeah, you might be traveling because they all may be coming from different places around the state, so I don't know. But, you know, if they're close by, people ride together and get to where they got to go to. And you're going to be looking for support of the people, the other people that haven't made that commitment. They're going to need to support you if you need, you know, $50 or $30 to pay for the gas and to get where you got to go. Ask the people that are in the group. Say, hey, look, take a collection. I need some money. I ain't got the money. Whatever we got to do, we got to work together. We got to figure this thing out. One way. Look, here's the question. Do we want to save America?
Absolutely.
That's the question. So that the answer is we got to do whatever we got to do to save it. And this is what we have to do. It's not a lot. Look at when George Washington was fighting the war on behalf of the people, the soldiers came to be where they were told to be, and they went and did the job and got it done. Okay? And that was that. They did it to, you know, I know there's a place called Featherbed Lane. I live right on the corner of Featherbed Lane and University Avenue in the Bronx. And Featherbed Lane was named that because George Washington's troop marched down that road. And they called it Featherbed Lane because the people, they didn't have boots. A lot of these people were worn off their feet. And it was in the middle of winter. And people were throwing feathers in the streets in order to make it a better walk for the soldiers as they came down. It was a gesture, I'm sure, more than anything else. And that got the name of Featherbed Lane. So these people did what had to be done. And that's what we need to do. If you think you got to be at work instead of saving the nation when the time comes, then you don't really understand the problem. You don't realize your work's not going to be there if we don't save this nation. And likelihood, anyway, it's not going to be there even when we do save this nation, because they're going to pull that plug one way or the other. That's what they're going to do. And that's going to cause chaos, but we'll be ready for that chaos if we get our job done.
Yeah, but I need to be directed. I need to be told what is my...
Exactly. That's what the meetings are for.
So where are these meetings?
Online, on the telephone.
Oh, this is on Monday nights and Thursday nights?
No, it'll be a private meeting.
Okay, how do I find out about them?
If you're on the list, you'll find out about it.
What kind of list? Am I on the list right now?
Send your name, your state, your email, and your phone number. to john@masterlibertyalliance.org.
Okay, because I received your email and I didn't...
When we call for the meeting, whoever doesn't show up, we're going to take roll call. And whoever doesn't show up, they'll be removed from the email list. They won't have the information to the next one.
Because I hate to commit myself into something I don't know what it is.
Well, obviously, if it's against your conscience, you shouldn't participate. When you get there, you'll find out. If it's something that you can't live with, then, and obviously we won't ask people to do anything they can't live with. But, you know, if that's what your concern is, then you just don't show up. You leave. You don't get involved.
Okay, so I can first put myself on the list, and if I see that the task is something I cannot perform, I can always just withdraw.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'd like to do that.
Then do it.
Okay. Will you send me another email?
Your name. Send me john@nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay. And in the subject matter, I commit, and put name, state, email address, phone number.
Okay.
That's it. And you're on the list.
All right.
And you may see another email coming to you telling you to do, looking for people to do the same thing. If you've already done it, ignore it. You know, it's already done.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
New Jersey, 201. Is that Jason?
Hi, John. Jason here.
How you doing, Jason?
John, I just want to commend you for the 14 or more months that you've been working on this project. And everyone has to have faith in the paperwork. It's impeccable paperwork. And the people are not necessarily, if they're not reading it, they don't understand the war that we're in. And we need to be diligent and just have faith in the system. And one thing that we all have to agree upon is the Four Agreements. It's a book. You can get a synopsis of it. You can read the whole thing. But in the book, it says there's four things we need to have. Your word needs to be impeccable. It needs to be unquestionable. Second thing is that you have to be a person that doesn't make assumptions. The third thing is don't take things personally. And the fourth thing is to do your best. If you are doing your best and on those four things, you are a 100% person. And our politicians don't do that for us. And we're marching in this down the road, Fetterman Lane. Whether it is then or back then or presently, we are at war. We have been at war since 1861. Everything's been screwed up. We have so many unconstitutional things that have been done from the President Lincoln with the act of his executive orders and then the states and the county and everyone else follows suit into the path of stupidity. And just get those affidavits out. I know I'm going to be sending two out to you, and it's not so much the affidavit, but the commencement of how much abuse that the people have been receiving. If even we're with 3,000 people on, and 10% is there, that's a significant attempt. 300 people sending numerous things in, and I know that New Jersey is going to go on the map with Hudson County and Lydia's paperwork, and the paperwork I've been sending in, the violations of the judges. Everyone, please do your best. Have faith. If you, it's one thing I have to say, I have been told that was the beginning of the age of my teens that I was retarded because I left back twice. And I was so damn retarded. I did, lost my, the 2 years that I lost, I did my 8 years and six, and I am still fighting that race with myself because I always have to prove myself, but the proof is always in the pudding. No one can put you down faster than yourself. If you believe in yourself, you go far, farther than anything else. Remember, you just need another person to think like you, and that becomes your mastermind, and that's coming from the writer, Think Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, and that faction. If you want to get your faith, everything he's done in that one book tells us to have faith in ourselves, and God doesn't let us go astray. God's giving us more strength, and he's filling us up with so much gold, wisdom, and water that we are invincible. With that sermon, I end and yield to you, John.
Okay, thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, next caller, 520, Ed. Go right ahead, Ed.
Hello?
Yes.
My comment is that we have a lot of people that have in internet sources of their news. You know what I'm saying?
Not really. Go ahead. I'm listening now. You have a lot of people.
Okay.
We have a lot of people that have their source of news from the internet.
Yes, I have. For instance, I watch Starship Earth, The Big Picture, and it has a lot of information on it. And they have given us good, solid plugs for their people to be aware of, which spreads the word. My comment is there must be a lot of other sources of internet news that are around the country, and people could contact them and suggest that they back the National Liberty Alliance.
Well, yeah, people can do that. That'd be good. I do hear some stuff from time to time of different groups that are reporting the news, or even all kinds of internet radio, and they are saying good things, and there are people bringing up things about us, so it's getting out there, and it'll continue to get out there. I think we're going to get a lot of traction in the next week or two, a lot of traction. Because of the paperwork we sent out, and the more paperwork we're going to be sending out all this week. So, it's coming. A lot of people are watching us. Again, let me say, there are tens of thousands of people involved with us, even though we only have about 3,300 members that are signed in. We have a lot more than that that are watching. And they're waiting. And they're cautious, and they're waiting, and they're in the wings. And I believe they're going to landslide in when the time comes.
I have sent emails to two other places. No answer back yet, but I figure I'll keep on sending to these various blog sites.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And try to spread the word that way. That's all I have to say. And thank you for all that you're doing, John. And I'm on your list.
Great. Appreciate the call. All right, let me move on because we got 20 minutes left, and I should be hearing the music in 20 minutes. So let's try to get the rest of the callers in. We got a few more callers still. Next caller, wireless caller, 585.
Yes, John, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, John, I'm sorry to bother you. I called you last Thursday night, and a lady called a little while ago, doesn't want to hear this kind of stuff, but I got to go to court Thursday night. And when I talked to you last Thursday night, you gave me some advice about the lawsuit and the traffic tissue and the stolen car and all that from the police, and they sold it. It wasn't really me. It was my former wife's son, and I'm trying to help him. Now, I just want to ask you a question. I told you they sent a letter to him, and it really isn't a summons or anything. I'll just read this one sentence. It says, please be advised that the above caption matter is scheduled for arraignment on the date and time listed above. It's just 5 traffic tickets. I'm wondering if this is a setup, because isn't that required by law, a certain type of summons, if they want you to come to court?
Well, this sounds like a town court. They'll do whatever they want to do. I don't think they're going to arrest you to get to court. You're showing up. It's a traffics. You go to court and you answer the thing with the idea. You go in and you say, look, I'm here by special appearance, and I don't know what this is all about. Well, I guess you do kind of know what it's all about. You're going to have to challenge. But once you start challenging, if you can get out of this thing with a fine, do it, and then sue them. That's the best way. That's the advice of Thornton. I say to anybody who knows what they're doing, they can go in differently. You know, I don't go to court. I send papers in. And people, you know, I send a written paper, you know, and they don't know what to do with it. Sometimes they just never call me back and never bother with me ever again. It just goes away. Sometimes they give me a hard time. So I say, okay. And then they hit me with a fine. And I got a couple right now. I got two I got to deal with that they hit me with fines. And I got to pay it because otherwise they're going to take my license away. So I'll pay it at the last minute. And I'll put them in my folder with my other ones that I have over the year or two. And soon I'm going to go out and sue them all. Every judge, everybody involved in the court case. And I'm going to sue New York State, the Department of Motor Vehicles. I'm going to sue them all, every one of them.
All right, John, I wanted to say this real quick.
Yeah.
On June 2nd, we went to court like we were supposed to, and the judge wasn't there. And after that, we never got correspondence to August 13th, this letter I just told you about. And between June 2nd and August 13th, they just sold the car. He never had any due process in court to defend himself with these citations. So what I'm trying to say is, could we still, like, if you get it into mail, a certified letter, ask the court to please send proper notification if this young man is required to come to court, because it doesn't state in this letter. And one more thing I want to ask you real quick. If we do go to the court, I want to go in there and raise the Bible up with my right hand like the judges used to do 100 years ago. Now, I'll be able to tell right away if that judge or the bill says
something. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to go in and do that and you're going to fight it, you better know what you're doing. Because if they've taken the car, they look like they're going to come out a little harder. But I would say at this point, in my opinion, considering your situation and considering your knowledge or lack thereof of knowledge, especially, which is your son?
No, it's my former wife's son.
Okay, so it's your former wife's son. Considering the lack of his knowledge.
Because,
first of all, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get up and speak. He's going to tell you, go sit down. He says, you can't represent him. Go sit down. He's not going to let you.
But there's one thing, though. I was a witness to this on the phone when he got pulled over, and I was giving advice, and he took the phone away, and he was whispering to the cop, and he said, he realized he was breaking the law, and I heard it, and he shut it off, and I recorded it. So
right. But they don't care. Right, look, I'm telling you, we don't have the time to really get into this during this meeting, and we're like 15 minutes away to the end, and we got more callers.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the best thing to do. It sounds like you don't have the ability to win the case and take it in from that courtroom. It sounds like it's too far in. You have to move quick in these courts, very, very quick. You can't screw around with them. Even me, I only go so far because you're not going to get any settlement there. You got to move it into another court. And normally I would move it into a court right away and just deal with it, but I haven't got the time. That's why I'm putting it in a file. I'm going to get back to it when I have the time. And I'm going
to
sue
him. Yeah, well, you told me to take it to the federal court. Do a suit right away. That's what you told me last Thursday.
Absolutely. They took your car.
Okay, due then process. What happens if we get it in?
They didn't give you due process.
So what happens if we go there and it isn't put in yet? Can we put it in the day before or the day after the September 4th hearing, the federal suit?
Anytime you want.
Okay. Well, we don't have the time, though. We don't have to tell a judge, right?
You can't get into a federal court and argue a case if you don't know how to do it, though. You have to get educated.
Yeah, well, I've been in the federal courts. I'm in one right now in my own case. So.
All right. Okay, well,
right,
as long as you know how to take the common law in. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. And you come back on Thursday. We'll talk to you then, too, you know.
Okay.
Next caller, Sarah. Go right ahead.
Hi, good evening, John, everybody.
I'm going to have to push you along a little quick because we still got a few callers and 15 minutes left. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Sarah from Florida. Just quickly, I wanted to say that the woman from Virginia and anybody else that doesn't have a set state coordinator for their state, that whoever is in there should be educating and reaching out to the rest of the state. There's lists of people on the state, you know, county organizers, et cetera. People need to call. People need to set meetings, meet up with different local groups. They have to get active to build up the people power.
Mm-hmm.
That's the statement.
Okay.
Godspeed on all you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Okay, next caller, wireless caller, 828. I've got to push you along because we still got a few callers left. 828, go right ahead, wireless caller.
John, this is Jay from North Carolina. I wanted to try to simplify this for the coordinator in Virginia. This started out in county court, and they violated John's rights. So as soon as the state or the county violates your rights, it becomes a federal case.
Absolutely.
Am I right on that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what the Constitution says.
So then it had to become a federal case, and now we're going into the federal case with a writ of mandamus, which is a writ of demand.
Which is going to get us into the state courts. The whole thing is for the federal courts to order the state courts to obey the law and step aside.
Right, right. Now let me just go through this whole thing, John. Because this is, like I say, this is kind of going to simplify it, okay? We're demanding that they follow the law, and the federal courts demand that the lower courts, their subordinate courts, follow the law and allow us access. And if we have to go to Scalia, we're not going to be going to Scalia and ask him for anything. We're going to be going to him with a demand that he command the lower courts, through a writ of mandamus, to follow the law and allow us access and to stop violating our rights. And that's why we're in federal court. And I think that'll simplify it for her. That's how I understand it. Now, one more thing that I wanted to say is that, you know, when it's in the Constitution, when a long train of usurpations all following one act to bring us to despotism, it is our right. It is our duty, and I underline duty, to act. And if we have the ability and if we have the knowledge, we are some of the people that understand what's going on. It's our duty to do this.
Amen. And that's what we're doing, and that's the point. It is our duty. We don't have a choice. We know and we have the knowledge. And it's now in our court that we must do it. We don't have a choice. We can't back away. I'm here only because I don't have a choice. I'm not here by choice. True, believe me. I have other things I'd like to be doing myself, but I have a duty. I have to be here. I have no choice.
And when I think about taking one of these grand jury administrator positions, I don't think about filing things on people. I think about being there to protect the people's rights. And that's the most honorable job in this whole country that you could possibly have. And with
okay,
that, John.
Appreciate
with
it.
With that, yep, I'm done. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I got to move on. I got four callers left. And wireless caller 707, you got 1 minute.
Okay, yes, John. Doug Millar here, Colorado.
How you doing, Doug?
Regarding the book Psychiatrist, The Men Behind Hitler, I have a hard copy, copyrighted when the first time it was printed was in English. First time it was printed was 94 in German. The second time it was printed was in English in 95. And it's printed by Freedom Publishing, which is a division of Scientology. And people need to study Scientology. This is an excellent book, lots of good information in here, but the bottom line is I want to just warn people that the book's co-author refers to the an acknowledgement on Roman numeral page 9 in the front of the book. The Citizens Commission on Human Rights International refers to them, and this is by the co-author in Germany, Anthony Burrell, and it talks about the International Association of Scientologists on page Roman numeral 11, and talks about them backing this whole thing. But what it leaves out is there's no reference to the Rothschilds, there's no reference to the Illuminati in the whole book.
Okay, I gotta move on. So hurry up because we got three more callers.
And the last thing is on Mengele, there's only 8 pages that does talk about his involvement in America. and that's the thing that they left out. All right, bye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, got three more callers left. I got to move it along because I'm about to hear that music in the background. 203, wireless caller, what do you got?
Yeah, hi, John. How you doing? It's Edward from Connecticut. I know you're okay. I'm great, John. I know you're running out of time, so I'll save my question for next time. God bless.
Get in earlier.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. Thanks, John.
Thank you. Okay, next caller, Andrew.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Hey, I came across something that's a U.S. Supreme Court ruling in reference to filing something. In here it states an instrument is deemed in law filed at the time it is delivered to the clerk, regardless of whether the instrument is filed marked or not.
Ooh, send me that. Is that United States Supreme Court ruling?
Yep.
Biffle
V. Morton Rubber Industries Incorporated. I sent that to you in an email just about 10 minutes ago.
Okay, I'll get that tonight. That sounds good. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Biffle V. Morton Rubber Industries Incorporated, 785-SW-2D-143-144, Texas, 1990.
Okay, just send it to me. Well, you send it to me. I'll get it, and I appreciate it. That's a good one. I like that. I never heard that one. So.
Yeah, me neither. I just came across that one. Forgot to share it with you.
Thank you. Okay, right, let me take our next caller. Bye-bye. This is our last caller, Tanner Justice. How you doing?
Hey, John. It's Tanner from Oklahoma. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Hey, I just wanted to make a quick shout-out to anybody listening from Oklahoma on the download or right now because I just haven't been able to make good constant contact with anybody here to please get in touch with me if they're interested in helping out over here. So
okay. You signed up on the leader's list, right?
I did.
Yes, I thought I saw your name. Okay, great. Yeah, you're going to need some assistance, whatever you can get, but even if you're one person in the beginning, we will build together and get the job done. So, anything else before we close off? We've only got a couple of minutes left.
No, they can look me up under the state coordinator for Oklahoma. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. All right, that kind of brings us to the end. Anybody, again, that wants to participate and really make a commitment, we only want serious-minded people. Just send me an email, john@nationallibertyalliance.org. Put in the subject matter. Do it tonight. Put in the subject matter, I commit. And then send me in the body of it your name, your state, your email, and your phone number, and then we'll put you we'll give you a call by email when we have a meeting and where it's going to be, and we'll take it from there. But again, we only want serious people that are going to make that commitment to get the job done because it's time to get the job done. We're here. We've gotten to the place we've been working for to get to for the last. Year and 4 months or whatever it's been. We're here. Time. Rick, you there? Anybody over there got any questions to close before we close off? I see we only got about 3 minutes left. If not, I guess we can lead in with the music and lead out. Did I lose you, Rick?
Oh, actually, Wild Bill and Rick just arrived about 5 minutes ago, and we're bringing their stuff in the house.
Okay.
If you want to go over a little bit, you can.
Well, I'm at a point. We've got our last. Okay. Well, I got. We just answered the last question. I don't have much more to say. Anybody over there got anything?
No. Just tell everybody to come to ShakeAndWakeRadio.com so they can hear the truth and.
Yeah, what's
John's
the next program
action.
Again coming up at midnight? What do you got coming up?
Right now we got BK, the BK Factor.
Oh, okay.
And Wild Bill Samsel from Missouri just picked up Rick Rittenauer from the show Right Now, who's on our network. They're both co-founders, co-owners, co-creators. And they just walked in the door after 14 hours on the road for Bill and 7 for Rick. And they're live in the studio with us next, so stick around.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, John. John, if you want,
Well, we'll come to an end. I got things to do.
Come to the chat or
Yeah, maybe
you know,
I'll come in. I'll come in for a short while I'm doing some work in the background.
Yeah, we'll
maybe
drag you in. We're
going
to be opening up the phone line so people can talk to Bill and Rick. And
are you going to call me in, or are you going to drag me in? I mean, or do I just join you? I'll click on your name and ring you up.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Why don't you lead us out? Lead us out. And,
all right. Here we go. We're going to lead you out.
All right. Good night, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you Monday or Thursday, shall I say, really, and then Saturday. Okay. Thank you. Good night, Rick. Good night, everybody. Take it away, Rick.